here today, and you guys know we've waited a lot of years, and he'll tell you, every convention, every RVP meeting, I'm like, Mr. Self, we got a date open for you. We got another one, and it's just been right there at the top of my Christmas list. Get Mr. Self out here to Utah to do this event. And I'll tell you, he was either going to say yes or have to get a restraining order to keep me from getting him out here, begging him to come out here. But, you know, I so much admire the family man in him and the lifestyle that he has to be able to say yes to his kids, to the vacations, to the school activities, to the church activities, to the things that he wants to do with his life today. And I know some of you are writing that complex situation of family, business, and you're juggling that, trying to figure out how to make this business work. I'll just tell you, pay the price for a short season so that you never have to say no for the rest of your life. It'll be well worth it. Mr. Self, I doubt, has anyone in this room on his direct organization. If you actually are in Mr. Self's organization, in other words, he makes an override off of the work you do, raise your hand. There may be one that snuck across the border, but I don't see him raising their hand. So there's, where is some? There is someone. Thank you. All right. Thank you. One. We have one person. So I want you to see what this really means, guys. Mr. Self is not a short flight from the East Coast to here. It's time away from his wife and his kids. It is a huge honor to have someone that will say, I don't make an override off of 99.9% of you, but I will come serve you because that's the type of leader that I am. Give it up for corporate marketing team member, Mr.
Testing, 1, 2, we're good? All right, I promised the folks in the back that I would slow down a little bit. So I'm going to slow down a little bit. And, you know, it's hard for me. Just like it's hard for some of us to say legal shield. Because I get so excited, it just starts to come out. I don't even know what that is going to come out and how fast it's going to come out. Just keep coming out. So I'm going to work on it. Focus. We won't be before you long, but it's my honor to be here. There's still a lot of sacrifice to continue to develop this legacy that we're creating. And I think it's extremely important that we think about our future generations. And so I promised my son it's football season, and I have two boys that play football, and one is 11, the other is 15, so one is playing high school and the other is playing for our city. And I promised him I would have to miss two games during this season, but only those two. And one was for the Dallas convention. We had a huge, for those who are new here, had a huge convention that I could not miss. I guess I could have, but I chose not to. And then the other was coming here to Utah. So the only two. Only two football games. So he said, "That's okay, Daddy. I'm going to score for you." I said, "You go for it." And so it is a wonderful feeling to know that we paid a price for a long time. Many of us hear the story of today, but we don't know the story of what it took to get here. And so today I'm going to talk about my preparation season. Otherwise, people compare themselves to you, not realizing what they're really comparing themselves to. And because I learned a lot even prior to Legal Shield, and it helped to kind of raise me up, if you will. It groomed me. It helped to mold me so that when Legal Shield came along, I was actually more prepared than a lot of people who initially joined Legal Shield that have not gone through that same season in their lives. Otherwise, again, you have this false expectation. You get started and you're like, oh my gosh, I see this. I'm really going to have more for my family. And we do. We're blessed that, you know, my wife and, you know, a lot of people may say, man, she really gets to have a great lifestyle, but they don't know the price she paid for 4 years of having nothing. And so in 4 years, when you're going through it, it seems like it's forever. Even though when you look at 4 years of your life in terms of your lifespan, it's not a lot of time, from 20 to 24, 24 to 28, 28 to 32, you know, 60 to 64. It's not a long time. But when you're going through 4 years, day by day, month by month, with no money, it seems like, man, when is this ever going to end? When is this drought ever going to end? And so I'm going to back up a little bit before Legal Shield. I have a lot to talk about in terms of Legal Shield, how to build a phenomenal organization, how to make sure that organization is effective and not just in place, because there's a difference. So there are a lot of great things we're going to talk about today, but let me take you back a little bit here so that you understand kind of where I've come from, because a lot of people think that it was just from the mall straight to Legal Shield. And that's my quick story, because, you know, I can't give you an entire 30-minute background story when I'm doing the initial overview. So let me summarize this quickly here. I was raised, I'm the only child, and my mom, who I love dearly, I'm a mama's boy. And my mom and my dad divorced when I was 11, and I do have a relationship with my dad. It wasn't that close growing up because I stayed with my mom. But then as I got older, I've developed a better relationship with my father. But I tell you that to say that I was around my mom all of the time. And so I was really connected to her. And I was what people would label a shy or an introvert. And I say that because now that I speak in front of thousands of people, most folks wouldn't know that unless I said it. They would think, man, it's easy for you because you speak in front of all these people. No. I wasn't always that person. I was a person who avoided the microphone. And so for a couple of different reasons. One, because I've been told I was shy for so long. Like, my father was even embarrassed when I went to go see him on every other weekend. He was almost embarrassed to take me around his friends because I would sit there. And he's like, what's wrong with your son? And he's like, oh, he's just a mama's boy. And so I was just kind of labeled as, oh, he's just shy. So I was just a shy kid. And even when I told the Players Club group last night, I do this presentation in Maryland, I talk about what high school I went to. There are folks who I went to high school with who don't even know me. They're like, so, and the school wasn't but so big. They're like, hold on, you graduated the same year as me? I'm like, that was me. They were like, hold on, no, what class did you? And I'm trying to explain who I am because they don't remember me. That's how quiet and to myself. So I've only had like a few friends in high school. I just wasn't the person that would go out and talk to strangers. Because you would think you have to be that person to succeed in this business. The person just goes up to everybody. How you doing? My name is Dave Savola. Is that guy? He is that guy. I'm telling you, I've been with him. For those who don't know, Dave Savola, he's the number one money earner in our company. He is that guy. He will talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime. Doesn't matter who they are, what they look like. It's the most amazing gift. It really is, because people don't even get mad. I just felt like if I did that, people would get mad with the things he does. We were in San Francisco. I never forget. We were walking into his restaurant, and he actually sat down next to somebody who was eating. No, I'm not joking. There was we're not talking about like a table. We're talking about in a booth. So he actually had to like scoop them over. So it's no joke. He sat down and says, excuse me. And the person's like, and he says, is that good? And the lady's like, yeah, actually it's very good. You know how he is. He's so lovable. And so he says, well, I got something better than that meal I got to show you. And she's like, and what's that? And it was amazing. He prospecting. Now I just felt like if I did that same thing, they'd be like, security! So, but I just felt like no way I could get away with that. How did you get away with it? So now everybody's the same, and you'll find that in this business. And that's okay. That's okay. Some people refuse to go to family and friends. Some people refuse to go to strangers. I'm going to teach you today how you can build a successful business in spite of you. In spite of you. Because what happens? People beat up on themselves. I'm too old. I'm too young. I tried too many things. I don't, you know, have a degree. I don't, you know, all these self-imposed barriers. And so anyway, my thing was shy, and I had I shouldn't tell you to the end of the presentation. Now you're going to pay attention for the rest of the hour that I'm up here. And I grew up with a lisp tongue. So now you're going to be like, there it is. So, but it's better now. So it's not as bad because I had some training, which I'll talk about in a second. And so I, in elementary school, especially, because do you know that kids can be mean? No, seriously. And Emily, I don't know if they mean to. They just can be mean. And so in school, my gosh, I was teased so badly because every word with an S was like, if I said specific, I spit over the whole front row. You know what I mean? That's how bad it was back then. And so I was teased a lot on the bus and in school. And so I got in trouble for not reading out loud in the third grade. Never forget. You know how some things stick with you, whether it was a bully in school. Certain incidents you'll remember. I don't care how old you are right now. Certain things you remember in your life. And I never forget getting in trouble for not reading. It was in the third grade. Never forget it. Because you go around a circle, you're supposed to read out loud. And I refused to read out loud because I'd rather get in trouble by the teacher and my mom than to read in front of the kids being teased for the rest of the day. So I just said, I'm not reading. I don't feel like reading. I got in trouble for it, for my mom and for my teacher. But that's kind of where I was in terms of public speaking out loud. So I want to share that part of my story because, you know, that was a process for me to be where I am today. And I had to learn not to concern myself so much with what other people thought about me. And that was a tough. You know the thing that kept me back from my millions in legal seal? Let me tell you this right up front. The thing that kept me back, the number one thing that kept me away from my millions, was my concern about what other people thought about me. When I was able to eliminate that, I was able to engage in this business the way that it's designed to be engaged. In other words, that I didn't really care what you thought about me. I just knew that it was somebody waiting for this information, somebody like myself. I wasn't the only person saying, I'm going to have more for my family. I want to have a better lifestyle for my family. I want to do more for my parents. I knew I wasn't the only one. And so once I stopped worrying about so much what other people thought about me, man, I would talk to anybody about it and not worry so much. And I think that was, again, a challenge of mine because of what happened in school. I was just worried that somebody's going to laugh, somebody's going to tease me. They're going to say, so, you know, they're going to laugh, ridicule the Apple, actual legal shield company like they used to ridicule me. So my point is I had to stop worrying about that. I'm going to teach you that a little bit later on how to overcome some of that. So here I am. Going through this phase of my life, you know, being called shy, got to high school, wasn't a straight A student, wasn't an F student, kind of right in the middle, and I ended up going to college. And in college, I had quite an interesting college career, as you all know, 7 years. But it was just because I was really undecided. I was a pre-med major for 3 years, and so I took my inorganic chemistry, organic chemistry, physics, genetics, everything as a prerequisite, and then decided I didn't want to do it because I didn't like school that much to continue to go. And the problem was, as a pre-med major, we had to go interview some of the physicians at the local hospital. And as I was interviewing the physicians, they probably told me things that they shouldn't have told me as a student about their lifestyle and how many hours they work and residency and internships and how long it took them to pay off their loans. And I was like, oh, no, not for me. And so, but because it wasn't in my heart. If it's in your heart to do it, doesn't matter. You'll teach, even though the economics aren't there with teaching, because it's gratifying to do it. So for me, it just wasn't in my heart. So I had to go tell my grandmother and my parents, which is the worst, I mean, one of the worst days of my life, to tell them that I wasn't going to be a doctor anymore. Because, you know, parents feel so good. They brag, you know, my son's going to be a doctor. And this is the worst Thanksgiving ever. When I had to say, look, grandma, you know, mom, I'm not going to be a doctor. And they're like, what? I said, yeah, I changed my major. What do you mean? You've taken all these classes. Yeah, I know. I don't want to do it. What are you going to do? Here's the worst response ever to a parent. I mean, I don't know. You don't know? What did you change your major to? It was radio, television, and film. It was like the worst. Anyway, I'm thinking back how that conversation went at the table. It was bad. But so that's why it really took me so long, because I changed up. So you may say, well, what does that have to do with legal shield? Well, you know, how things in life lead you to a place that at that moment, you don't really know what it means. And because I changed my major in all these different times, And it forced me to work at this mall for a long time to afford clothes and food and things while I was in school. Because my parents weren't wealthy. They didn't make enough money to really buy me all the things that I wanted in life. But enough for me to get, kind of, you know, eat and do the necessary things. So my point is, I ended up working at the mall for 7 years. So if it wasn't for me changing my major, I wouldn't have worked at the mall for so long. Wouldn't have been offered a manager position. Wouldn't have made $40,000 a year. But watch this. The guy at the mall who I fired, because when you're a manager, you got to hire and fire. The guy at the mall that I fired because he was rapping a lot, he was an aspiring rap star. Just stick with me for a second. And so when the customers would come in, he would rap to the customers. He had little rhymes and everything. You know, what do you need? What's your help? It would sound good, but it was not what I needed him to do. So he was actually good at what he did, but it wasn't proper for that setting. I'm like, listen, man, you cannot rap to the customers. He was like, I like to rhyme and put the jeans together in a rhyme and it makes them want to buy it. No, do not do it. Well, I said, I'm going somewhere with the story. So this guy, I have to tell him over and over again, do not rap. He continued to do it. So I had to pull him in the back and say, look, man, you know, I'm going to have to let you go because you're far too creative of a person for us to utilize you here. But that creativity can be used other places, I'm sure. And so with that type of talent, you'll be extremely successful. As a matter of fact, there's an opportunity that's available this evening at 7:15 that I want you to check out. So I invited, fired him the same day, invited him out to an overview of this vitamin company, my first introduction to this industry that I was a part of. So I invited him out. He joined, was more successful than I did, and left and joined some other things. Well, that person is the same person that introduced me to Brian Carruthers, the person that introduced me to Legal Shield. All I'm saying is that if I go back and look at all the seasons in my life, some of those seasons, even though I didn't enjoy them while I was in them, were necessary for where I am today. They helped to, they prepared me. And I didn't realize how it was preparing me. So that same guy actually introduced me to Brian Carruthers. Now, he quit Legal Shield. He's no longer here, but he was above me. And we brought in, our organization has brought in over 270,000 people. And 12 people have made over $1 million. The organization itself has been paid over $300 million in commissions. His override would have easily, if he just never hit executive, he's just director breakaway, which doesn't mean many things to those who are newer in the room. It just means he's not even at the top position. He'd easily be earning a six-figure income every year, doing nothing. Like, so I saw him about a year and a half ago. And we were in the airport. And I said, Stuart. He said, what's going on, Donnell? So we gave each other an embrace. And he said, man, so how's the prepaid legal? You know, it wasn't Legal Shield at the time. You know, how's that going? And I didn't even have the heart to tell him. I wanted so bad to say, oh, you crazy, man. You don't have millions on the table. But I didn't even have the heart. I said, you know, how things going? I said, it's going okay, man. How things going? You know, work at a dealership right now. And, you know, things are tough, but I'm working at it. And I said, oh, good, man, good. With much success to you, man. Always here for you. If you know, ever want to come back, take a look at what we're doing. He's like, nah, that kind of stuff isn't for me, man. I'm glad things are going okay for you. Keep going, man. I'm sure you'll have success with it. And I was like, all right, thanks, man. Have a good day. I couldn't even tell him. So my wife, Tracy, was like, you didn't tell him? I was like, no. How can you? I was like, I couldn't. I couldn't bring, because I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy that's, you know, this, you know, I'm not that type of guy that when someone's already down to kick them. You know what I'm saying? And I just felt like it may have presented some suicidal thoughts. If seriously, when you can make six figures and you're struggling. So anyway, so my point is that I've gone through a lot. And I think that by sharing with you some of the things I've gone through will help to prepare you, even if Legal Shield is your first and only opportunity. So, first opportunity. I was working at the mall, frustrated, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. You know, met a lot of good people there because the people I met there, even though I didn't personally, six of the Millionaire Club members on our team actually came from someone I knew at the mall, even though they weren't the person I knew at the mall. So again, that same season, because I made a list of everybody I knew, even people I met at the mall. So even though none of the people joined from the mall, the people that did join introduced me to people who led to 6 Millionaire Club members. You all getting this? So at least $3 or $4 million of the income we earn here came from the mall, even though it didn't come from the mall. So some of you complain about the place where you are right now, and sometimes you're held in this holding pattern, if you will, because there's some people you're supposed to meet right there that's going to lead you to your success here. So watch out when you're complaining and look out for some things that perhaps you're there for. So when I was at the mall, and I answered this ad in the paper, Mr. Hall, and this ad says, keep doing what you're doing, keep getting what you got. Weird ad. Thought it was an interview. Went in for what I thought was an interview. You all know that part of the story. And I walked in. It wasn't an interview, but they still had me thinking it was a job. They said, look, you can actually get started in management here. We're actually looking for people to help us to expand the management capacity. And for that, it only takes an upfront investment of $5,000. Now, I didn't have $5,000. They said, well, no problem. We can get you the $5,000. Do you see a value in starting as manager? I said, yeah, I'm a manager now at the mall. I can do management things. And they helped me get a credit card. They put out a phone book. I guess they had the right bank card. Got me a credit card for $5,000. I immediately put $5,000 on the credit card. Got a credit card one day and took it up to the limit the same day. $5,000. Now, watch this. You may say, what does it have to do with legal seal? Because when I got the legal seal, which was prepaid legal at the time, for $249, it was a joke to me. So you know how folks go out and say, well, you know, it is $149, it's $249. For me, I was like, and guess what? This is the best part. Only $250 to get all of this, to get access to people who've been successful, willing to show you how to do the same thing. $250. Where can you find? So my energy was different. Because, you know, some people say, well, it's $149. So when you're saying people, oh, I don't know, I don't have the $149. And, you know, and we buy into that. I didn't buy into it because I came up with $5,000 when I didn't have it. So it positioned me for legal seal. $5,000. I was used to asking folks for $5,000 after the overview. Can you imagine after the overview I did today, having to turn to the person you invited out and say, look, you see an opportunity? Say, yeah, yeah, I'm ready. Great. It's $5,000. Can you imagine having it? That's what I had to do. For a year and a half, $5,000. So $5,000. Not only that, but the first training I went to, because you have to go to this basic training, and once you spend $5,000, you're going to go to training because you want to learn how to get that money back. $149, you may not show up next week. So $149 is like, man, you know, I spent that on some things I no longer fit. Right? I spent that on a date, and I'm no longer with them. Right? People spend that, and they don't even, it's gone. They don't even know where it is. Right? Frivolously. So for $5,000, though, you're going to go to that training class. However, the training class is $300. Watch this. I'm going to bring you why this means so much to legal seal. It's $300. To go to the first training class. The first training class. $300. When you invest $300 to come to a training like this, you take copious notes. Even if you can't define copious, you take it anyway. And so $300, I was on the front row. It's like, look, I'm taking these notes. I'm getting my $300 worth and my $5,000 back. So I learned a lot. I grew a lot. Never made any money, but I learned a lot. You guys getting it so far? So I was learning a lot. And so I'm taking all these notes. I'm like, okay, that's good. I understand. So I learned this industry. I learned how this industry works. Like, I started learning in that industry, in that company, which is the same industry, direct sales. I started learning that friends and people that you know actually lie to you. No. Call me gullible if you want. Utah, Idaho, Vegas. Call me gullible. But I didn't understand because I'm not that type of person. So I didn't understand why they would tell me they were going to be somewhere and not show up. That was disheartening for me. Because if I'm not going to show up, I'm at least going to call you. I'm not going to have you waiting for me anywhere. So if I say I'm going to be there, you can expect. Like Mr. Hall didn't have to remind me once we connected and said yes. There was no confirmation needed because I already said yes. Does that make sense? He had to call me last week and say, are you sure you're coming? I said I was coming, so I'm coming. When you're like that, it's hard to deal with people who are not like that. So it wasn't that legal seal is hard, it's that the people you're dealing with make it difficult because they're not sticking to their word. So what happened was I started learning in this company already. So when legal seal came along, which I'll talk about in just 1 second, when legal seal came along, I was already used to people lying to me. So it didn't take me mentally out of the game. So some of us, this is our first venture, and we're so, man, we get our best friends that say, yes, Thursday, I'll call. And they don't even answer the phone. And they're our friends. I call them frenemies. But you can call them friends if you want. A frenemy is someone who's disguised as a friend. Because a real friend is not going to have you waiting anywhere without them letting you know. That's not what I call a friend. I know it's going to be a tough training, but I'm here to help you earn some tough income. So you don't even have to like me if you don't want. As long as your bank account increases, I'm okay with that. It's like my sons. Look, my sons I have tough conversations with because they're men in America. And I have tough conversations with them. And look, I don't need you to be my friend. I have friends. I'm your daddy. You all getting this? Because some parents want to be the best friend. I got best friends. You don't need to be my best friend. I'm your father first. We can be a friend, but I'm your father first. I have friends. You should have friends too. It's a good thing to do. You guys get what I'm saying? So that's how I am today to you. I'm a good friend, but also because I've been blessed to have a certain amount of success, I have this macro view and not a micro view. I'm not looking from here. I'm looking from here. So I already know what you're going to go through before you go through it. So I'm just trying to help you avoid some of the pain as you go through it. That's all. So at 5,000, then 300, then 600 was the next training. That's when they bring the millionaires in. Like, this training would be $600 today because you learn from millionaire club members. $600. I'm like, are you crazy? But I took notes because I had to get that $5,000 out. So now I'm going deeper and deeper in debt. 5,000, 300, 600. And these aren't one training. We want you to keep going. Like, we want you to keep coming here, but it's 20 bucks to keep coming. They want you to keep coming for 600 bucks. I'm like, are you serious? Then the big training, which we have a big international training where we get all of our Canadian Legal Shield family to come. We get all of our states, the folks from the states, from even from Hawaii, from the mainland, away from the mainland. They all come. Like 10,000 people plus at an arena. And what is it, 150 bucks to go to that? Cheaper if you get to do it in advance? $1,100 to go to this event. And if you bring your spouse, you get a discount, $1,000, $100 discount. So both of us to go, about $2,100. But she wanted to go because I wanted my spouse to support me. So I wanted her to see what I was seeing. So needless to say, I was up to over $10,000. I didn't have, I'm getting loans. I want you guys to see where I came from. So when Legal Shield came along, man, this was easy for me. $20 to come learn from those who've been successful. Are you serious? I spent thousands in college to learn how to live check to check. I spent thousands in a company where I never made any money. I could spend $20 here and go out and market a membership tomorrow and make $100. Are you serious? Y'all getting this? So my mindset was slightly different than the average person's getting started. The average person's saying, well, I hope it works. We'll see what happens. I'll give it a shot. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm like, when I found out, every time they said something, I'm like, hold up, how much do they go to trainings? And you mean they made millions and they're willing to show me? I'm telling you, this my first training I went to was Dave Savola, Michael Dorsey, and Michael Dorsey Sr., the late Michael Dorsey Sr., bless his soul. And so, but because it was only 20 bucks, I couldn't believe it. I got eight of us got in a car, a van, we rented, and I couldn't afford to rent it myself, so we all kind of split it up to rent. And drove to Georgia from Maryland. It was about a 10-hour drive. Because I couldn't believe it was $20. I'm like, to rent it in gas and go to training was cheaper if I paid for the entire rental car than me going to one training with the other company. So did you see my mindset when I started Legal Shield? I'm like, come on, guys, it's only $20. And all we got to do is drive. We just come right back. We don't have to stay at a hotel because I couldn't afford a hotel. I didn't tell them that. I said, we ain't got to stay. I was hoping they'd say, okay. So they got to stay. I couldn't have gone. But they didn't know that. So we went. And we learned from, watch this. We learned from Dave Savola, Michael Dorsey Sr. By the way, they're not in my upline. That just goes to show you that you can learn from folks who are not your upline. You can't say, well, I don't have an upline. Who cares? You have an upline. You have me. You have Mr. Hall. You have others. Look, I'm not having a certain conversation with you today that I wouldn't have with my team. I'm not saying, well, I'm going to hold this back because they're not on my team. I'm saying the same thing I would tell my team. Because your success is my success. Everybody getting this? So you don't have, you don't say, well, my sponsor, you know, I don't know about my sponsor. Look, Brian Carruthers got, and I got started at the exact same time, my sponsor. So he didn't even spend time with me because he was trying to do the business himself to create his own story. And if you know Brian Carruthers, he is focused. And he was like, look, I'm here. You do you. I'm going to do me. You figure out. Cause he's like, look, I'm new too. I'm going to figure it out. You can figure it out. You can go to the same training as I go to. So what am I going to teach you? You can come like I can come. That's how he is, by the way. And it's not his fault. His father's just like that. Father's very stern. I mean, you know, they've made millions. On the East Coast, everyone knows who Prudential Carruthers are. I mean, it's huge real estate. I mean, they sold a long time ago, sold to Merrill Lynch for like $50 million. I mean, they've made tons of money, right? And so his family has. And that's why I have so much respect for Brian Carruthers, because he doesn't have to do Legal Shield. I mean, he can live off his family's money easily. I mean, they got, at Virginia Beach, if you go to Virginia Beach on the water, it's all hotels, except for a few houses, which are owned by the Carruthers. You know, so Ocean City. So my point is that they have money. And so I have so much respect for him because he said, you know what, that's my dad's money. I want mine. And because he could have easily said, you know what, dad, I'm just going to hang on your coattails. But to have a child step away from the money that they're entitled to or, you know, at some point and say, well, I'm going to do it my way, is still huge. So anyway, my point is that that I didn't necessarily learn everything from Brian Carruthers. I learned from folks who aren't in my lineage. That's why I got this information from Larry Smith, from Michael Dorsey, from Dave Savola. That's why I went to, because I went to travel to go learn from them. Everybody with me? I didn't wait for them to come to Utah or, in my case, Maryland. I said, look, if I got to try, that's why I commend you all who drove here from other places, from 4 hours away, 5 hours away, other parts of Utah, Idaho, wherever he came from. You know, I commend you because you say, look, if the information's there, I'm going after it. That's how it was. Okay. So we got in this van, we went, and we learned a lot. And I took a lot of great notes and learned from the number one money earner. I'm figuring, hey, look, if he's number one, even if I fell asleep on 90% of it, I'll be all right. You know what I mean? Seriously, when people are making six figures a month, if you got 10% right, get a 10 on the test, that's $10,000 a month. Everybody with me? So I figured if I just go keep learning from the best of the best, and it's good when you have sponsorship that wants you to do that. It's not good when you have sponsorship to try to hold you back and say, no, you can learn from me. You don't need to learn from all of them. You know people say that to their folks? You don't need to go out to that thing. I'm going to teach you. They just keep saying the same stuff anyway. Just learn from me. You know people hold back their own success. They're the hindrance of their own success. They're in the way of their own success. Don't even know it. Because all their folks can learn from is them. And man, you got to learn from a multitude of voices in this business because everybody can't relate to you. Everybody can't relate to me. My own team can't relate to me because I talk so fast. I gotta take my team to other people so they can talk to listen to someone who talks slower. Because they won't even get it listening to me. Everybody with me? But some folks like the way I talk. So those folks are like, look, hurry up and get to the point. I like when you talk fast. Because I don't like people just talk slow for 10 hours. I'm falling asleep. So you see what I mean? That's why you gotta have different people that you're learning from, a multitude of voices. Because not everybody's gonna like every trainer. And that's okay. I already know everybody's not gonna like me. And I'm okay with that. My feelings aren't hurt. It's okay. Just don't tell me. Right? Let me think that you like me. Okay? It's good for my ego. All right, so I went through all these different things, and so from there I went to this long distance company. Now here's the difficult part before legal sale. Here was the difficult part. When I was at a long distance company, there wasn't any upfront money at all. Okay, except if you recruited people. And this is when I started learning the differences between companies out there. So that's why I'm pretty effective at speaking with people. Say, well, what's the difference between this and all these? I'm pretty effective at it because I've been around for so long. And so I realized that most companies only pay you for recruiting. And so there's a game being played. There's no real money off the product. Because otherwise, you wouldn't even market that product. You go to Costco's or somewhere and get it. The real money is in recruiting thousands of people. That's the only way you're ever going to make money. And that thing I love about Legal Shield is that it's not based on that. The only reason you recruit is to help them market their membership, not to recruit them to get paid, because we don't get paid for recruiting. The government says it's a pyramid, by the way. When you market a product, when you get paid without marketing a product or service. That means there's no commerce. Commerce is when you market a product or service, right, and get paid for that product or service, when you bring value to the marketplace. Our free enterprise system says you're allowed to do that. But when you get paid for recruiting someone, there's been no product or service rendered. So if you get paid for recruiting, the government says the pyramid, and it's actually illegal. But most companies, they're only around for 5 years, 7 years, so the government doesn't even care about them. They know they're going to be here today and gone tomorrow. People get a lot of hype out of them over the first 5 years, and people, you know, go there, and then 7 years, they're gone. That's the way it works. We already know it because it's been around for 40 years, so Legal Shield has seen that happen over and over and over again. I already know what's going to happen. Unfortunately, I feel sorry for the sheep because the sheep get led astray because they don't know any better. So I started learning the industry in this long-distance company. You know, I didn't make any money. I learned the industry. Okay. Oh, by the way, there I learned edification, I learned third party, I learned how third party is better than first party, how everybody wasn't going to relate to me, whether it was the color of my skin, whether it was my education or lack of education, because 7 year bachelor's degree and maybe they had a PhD, whether it was my age, maybe I was talking to someone who was 55 and I was in my 20s, they may not respect me the same. But you guys get my point? So in that company, even though I didn't make any money, I learned third party, I learned how to put other people in front of folks that they could relate to instead of trying to be the person, trying to be the messenger and the message to everybody. And I wasn't even offended by it. You know how people get offended? Well, I don't know why they can't relate to me. Don't get mad at your money. Everybody with me? I don't care when people say, look, I go to the white meat, I go to the black meat, I don't care what meat you go to. You go where you feel comfortable. Because this is about finances for our future generation. Everybody with me? Now, because not everybody is, now I'm the type of person, no matter who you are, don't matter what your religion is. You know, if your religion is different than mine, it doesn't matter to me. But some folks actually get offended if they're sitting next to someone with a different religion. So, again, we're in a business where I started to learn all these things. This is part of Legal Shield. Okay. And then the last company before Legal Shield, I know you're thinking, my gosh, boy, you went through a lot. That's why I didn't want to talk to my family and friends when Legal Shield came along. I'm like, I ain't talking to my family and friends. There's no way. Because all they're going to say is, okay, water filters and vitamins, long distance, satellites, I don't care what you're doing. We don't want to hear it. I just knew that was going to come out their mouth. Okay, so here I am now in this satellite company. There's a company called TPN, and it's not a business now, but it was a personal development business where they really focused on you growing yourself more than the business. Because if you grew yourself, then the business will grow around you. That was the philosophy, is to grow yourself, you know, economically, socially, to, you know, spiritually. You're becoming a better person all the way, health-wise. So anyway, so on this one network you can turn on your satellite TV, you would see all the best of the best. You know, people that gave financial advice, people that gave health advice, whatever. It was all the motivational folks. So it was great. And if you like positive TV, most folks don't like positive TV, so that's why I went out of business. So, but there I learned personal development. I became someone different. Still not making any money, by the way, so it's hard to tell your wife that you're becoming someone different when you're not bringing anything in the house. Because, you know what I mean, there's no harvest there. But yet I was cultivating myself. But it's hard to explain that. When you have kids, they got to eat. You can't save to the bill collector. I had cultivation happening in me, though. So I was growing myself. I was reading. I couldn't stop reading. And all of my six changers in my truck all had personal development stuff. So I was growing, and all of a sudden I'm listening to all this stuff. And do you know whatever you put in starts to come out? And all of a sudden I start sounding different. Even though I didn't make any money, I start sounding different. I started responding to things differently. The same people that cut me off and throw up a finger and yell at me, I respond different. Before I get upset, and I want to blow my horn, I want to get upset. But all of a sudden it's like, man, they're having a rough day. I responded differently. You see this? I was becoming someone different. The same thing that can happen, I didn't receive it the same. Same thing, I just didn't receive it the same. Because I have a choice on how I receive everything. They don't have a choice on what they do. That's not my choice. That's theirs. So I don't have a choice on what they do, but I have a choice on how I receive it. So that's what was happening inside of me. And this is what helped me, in Legal Seal, as I get to it, helped me to attract and draw a huge organization. Because you can't chase it. One of the greatest philosophers in the world, the great late Jim Rohn, says it'll lose you like a butterfly. Success will. You must attract it. And so I became attractive based on the things I said. Everybody with me? Based on my energy. So it's okay. I didn't get mad anymore. Things changed. So it's just like, you know, like, come on, it's always been this way. It's like in the hospital, right? Something negative, you have a reaction to. They have to keep you in the hospital. I'm sorry, your mom's had a reaction. We've got to keep her a couple of days. But a response, she's responding well. She can go home today. See, the response is always better than the reaction. You react, it's always a bad thing. Response, you can go home. How many of you want to go home from the hospital? I know you do. All right, so. So here we are, Legal Seal, finally. Okay, quickly. So now we're at Legal Seal. Now you can see my process. By the way, that was from, for those who are taking notes, who want to know the story behind the story. So next time someone says, oh man, it's different for Darnell Self. No, it's not. Because I already spent my 3.5 years full time studying the industry. I was in school in this industry, if you will, for 3.5 years, making it to every weekly briefing, going to training, spending $600. So I paid the price for 3.5 years straight, never taking my foot off the gas, even though I was working at the mall. So, March of 1995, my first time ever even figuring out what direct sales, network marketing, multi-level, all the people call it, all different things. And it's my job, by the way, it's one of my missions to dispel myths about this industry. This industry has created so many millionaires. Right, real estate and network marketing has created more millionaires in the world than any other industry, and people don't even know it. Okay, so people, you know, say all that stuff is a scam, but there are people who live in lifestyles, people just don't know them. Like, I go to the movies at home, people don't know me. So I can make millions, they don't even know me at the movies, so I can enjoy my life and have the wealth. So people don't, because network marketing has a bad name, because there are some people out there doing unethical things, unfortunately, trying to make money off their friends instead of by empowering their friends with a great service. So March of 1995, I joined the industry. I joined Legal Seal September of 1998. So I spent time in the industry, learning, growing, going to trainings every single week. So it led me to Legal Seal. Let's talk about Legal Seal. September 1998 is when I joined Legal Seal. August of 1998, my house was up for foreclosure. My car was repossessed. Tough time for me because I didn't have the job at the mall. Something happened at the mall. It was a bad incident. And someone started threatening my life. And at that mall, it's in a violent neighborhood anyway. They were doing more shooting than buying clothes. So it's not the mall I wanted to work at anyway, but that was the mall that was paying me. And so when I started getting threats on my life, I'm like, look, I don't own the store. I'm not staying here and having threats on my life. My wife, that's where I met her at the mall, she was my cashier. So she was the one answering the phone and hearing the threats. And so she's like, you know, we can't do this. We have to leave. I said, what are we going to do? She's like, I don't know, but we can find another job at the mall. And at another mall. So we walked away from the mall because of these threats. So most people don't know this, so I would never tell it in a briefing because it's a little odd when the guests are here. And it's like, hey, let me tell you about my story. I was once threatened at the mall. People wanted to shoot me. They're like, who is this guy? You know what I mean? This is weird because they don't know me yet. You all have been hearing me now for a couple of hours, so hopefully you kind of know my spirit and where I'm coming from. But the bottom line is, so we left them all. How many people know that you can go through some financial troubles and it can pick up speed? And you're on this downward spiral. Seriously, you know, like some people say, when it rains, it pours. And my gosh, there were things happening in our life, and I just could not get a job. I just knew I was going to find another job, and I couldn't find one. They called me overqualified. And look, I'm not a stranger to working hard. I've been working since the age of 15. I don't mind working. I didn't care what I did. I was willing to sweep the floors. I was willing to go to Costco's. It was price club back then, and work at night to stock sales so I could still build my business during the day. I was willing to do whatever it took. I just couldn't get a job. They called me overqualified because I had a degree, all kinds of crap. And I just couldn't find a job. And all of a sudden, things started, bills started collecting. And it just, man, it became harder and harder for us. And, I didn't care. Look, we cut down on everything. Our kids were in public school. We went from two cars to one car. So we tried to cut down everything that we could. And it still wasn't enough. You know, we didn't have a big house. We didn't have all that stuff. But it still wasn't enough. And so I know some of you can't relate to this because you've always had money. But for those who haven't had money, you know what I'm talking about. It's tough. It's tough. It does something to your confidence as a man when you can't put food on the table for your family, for your wife and your kids. It does something to your esteem. And so that's where I was in August of 1998. It's in a tough place, the worst place in my life, financially, ever in my life. And so the car was taken. I always tell people it was taken, but I know who took it. Right, it was Toyota Motor Corporation. So it was actually repossessed. I just like to say taken because it makes me feel better. So the car was taken. And so my wife went out to go to work because my wife was working four jobs that year to try to help. She did find jobs. And so she had a degree in broadcast journalism, so she's working at television stations, doing all types of things. She was substitute teaching, a teacher at the elementary school up the street from our house. So she was finding jobs, so she wasn't afraid to work, too. She's like, look, somebody's got to work around this house. While I was still trying to build all these different businesses I talked about as I was trying to figure out how to find a job myself. All right, so that's the story that most people don't know. So August of 1998, the car was taken. She was going outside to drive to work, and she came back in the house crying and screaming and said, baby, wake up, somebody took the car. And I was like, what? Somebody took the car. And I was like, oh. She was like, what? I said, I know who took it. You do? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, who? I was like, Toyota. Well, I'm laughing. That was not funny back then. And she was upset. I mean, it was a tough time in our life. And so, the very next month, I'm introduced to Legal Shield. Can you imagine me coming home saying, all right, this time for real? You know what I mean? I'm just telling y'all the story. I'm like, baby, for real this time. I'm not joking. For real. I promise you. Just stick with me. I was like, do you trust me? She said, you know I trust you. Then I need you to trust me on this. This is going to be, and I was praying to myself, Lord, let this really be the one, because she's about to leave me. So look, so that's when Legal Shield came. But let me just jump through a couple of things here, and then I've got about 30 minutes worth of notes. You guys okay? All right, because I don't want to make you sad, so let me boost you up real quick, and then I'm going to get to my notes. Because some of you are like, oh, my gosh, you just had the worst. I don't want you to feel like that, because some of you just took all the energy out of you. I can feel it right now. You're like, oh, man, I know. I'm feeling that right now. I felt that last year. Some of y'all just make you think about your own situation. So let me bring you back up. All right, so let me tell you a positive story, and I'll get to my notes. In our business, we tell people to write down their reason why. You know, the reason why you're doing the business, so it can drive you to do things that you otherwise wouldn't have done if you didn't have the why in front of you. Like sometimes it's raining or snowing and things like that, and you say, well, I'm not going to go tonight. I got a slight headache. I'm not going to go tonight. But your why would say, you know what? I got to go. That's what happened to me. Because I would go to work at the mall when it was snowing. I would slide in for somebody else's dream. That wasn't mine. I was working for somebody else. I had a slight headache. I would go to work. But here, when it's your own business, people get a slight headache, they decide not to work for themselves. Oh, it's snowing. But you went for somebody else when it was snowing. You don't want to go for yourself when it's snowing, though. That's the why that kept me. Okay, so I think it's why. But I've changed the why several times, and I'll go back to that because I have it in my notes, but I want to take you to a positive story real quick just to lift you up. after about 8 months in the business is when the business started really happening for me. It happened before that, but it wasn't consistent. So I get a $300 check, and I get a $1,000 check, I get a $200 check, I get a $4,000 check, I get no check, I get three. So it's like, So we were on an emotional roller coaster. We were like, yes, yes, every time you thought it was going to start working, we were all messed up mentally. Right? Because, in business, for business owners in the room, you know what I'm talking about. There's no consistency in the beginning of any business you start. Right? So it's kind of like this. All right, so I'm going through all of that. And but after 8 months, it started happening, which I'll talk to you about in a second. So it started happening. And so I changed my why because I already accomplished the first two whys. So I was like, yes, which my first two whys, by the way, was one, to pay all my bills at sitting down at the table at one time. Because I've always had to pay like these two right now, this one next week, and the other one, I'm just going to have to skip it and wait until it doubles next month. You know what I mean? I had to work it. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Pay Visa with MasterCard. You know, I was working it. And so one of my goals was one day I'm going to sit down, and some of you who are rich in the room, you have no idea what I'm talking about, right? You're like, what in the world is that? But some of you, you can relate to me. When the envelopes change colors, that's how you know you're behind. It's pink. I'm like, oh, he changed the color. You got to let everybody know I'm late. Okay, so one of my goals, was to pay all my bills at one time. And, oh, my God, it made me feel so good. When I was sitting there, and I was like, we were sitting at the table. I never forget our kitchen table, and there's our old house. And, man, she was like, okay, can we fit this one? I was like, yeah, we can. She was like, how about this one? I was like, yeah. This is my wife talking to me. And we ended up paying all our bills at one time. And it was the best bill. So I was able to take that Y off my little desk, and I was like, yes. And then, look, we hadn't even made a whole bunch of money, so our bills weren't that much anyway. And we still owe people, by the way. So it wasn't like we were out of debt. But I started, you know, I believe in paying people back, so I started paying people back even before I didn't want to buy something and then I still owe people money. That's kind of weird. You know, show up in a new car, but I owe them $2,000. So my point is that I accomplished that why. The second why was to call that lady back, Bernadette. Some of you know about the story because it's on video. Some of you are new, so let me share it with you real quickly. I had a bill collector call me, and she was really, really, really rude to me. And my kids were in the background. And she was like, we need you to pay your mortgage, blah, blah. And I said, well, I'm trying to get the money together. And she says, let me ask you a question. We need a date right now for you to pay. So give me a date. I said, I don't have a date right now because, I run a business, and so I don't really know when the money's coming in. And she was like, well, what do you do? And I didn't feel like explaining it to her. So I said, well, I'm working on my dream. She says, you need to work on a reality. This is a true story. This is a bill collector. She's not rude. She was. I'm like, whoa. And she said, those are kids out here in the background? And I said, yeah. And she said, you must not love your kids because you pay your bills on time. Can you believe this? I couldn't believe this. And as a guy, my adrenaline was flowing so I could feel my hands shaking. I was so upset. Like, I know I'm black, but I was red. And, no, for real, I was. Kind of Indian looking. So anyway, I was red. I could feel it. I was hot. I could feel it, right? So my wife is like, baby, just get off the phone. Hang up. Don't worry about it. And I said, what's your name? And she said, Bernadette. True story. She said, Bernadette. And I said, well, thank you. I'll be calling you back. Yeah, please do so with a check. Rude self. So anyway, so I hung up. And look, I was so, can I say pissed? I probably shouldn't, but I was upset. So I wrote down, I said anyway, what's wrong with me? Anyway, so sorry, please invite me again, please. All right, so I wrote down Bernadette all over. And I put it, this is no joke, you guys, my wife, I put it in my desk where I made my calls, because I've always been the type where I was afraid to make calls. Like, almost hoped that people wouldn't answer so I could leave my voicemail. Especially my chicken list, those are people who I was like the pastors, I was always afraid to call. But I put Bernadette there. It forced me. I was like, this one's for Bernadette. And I just called the numbers real quick. Right? Because I had to get over this fear. So I had to put Bernadette down. Put Bernadette there. Put Bernadette in my refrigerator. Because I knew I had to eat something. So I would always think about Bernadette. You know, sometimes you eat, you sit down, you don't do your business like you should. And I was on it because Bernadette was everywhere. I had Bernadette on my sun visor. So in the car, I put the... You know, this is my father's pickup truck because my car had been repossessed, so I'm driving my father's pickup truck. I didn't even tell y'all that story. So my father was already on me. Like, so, are you rich yet? You make a million yet? When am I getting my truck back? By the way, he had three cars. I'm gonna borrow one. I'm like, I want to say, Dad, you got two other cars. You don't need the truck. But that's my father. Can't be rude because my father didn't believe in timeout. I'd be knocked out. That's the way it was. So I had my son back. I had Bernadette there, so I'm in the car. I make the calls. My point is, and by the way, my first 3 months, I didn't have a cell phone. I got a cell phone on my team's credit. Somebody in my organization was the worst thing to do, by the way. Don't ever do that. But my point is that I had Bernadette everywhere. And my goal was when I make $10,000 a month, I would call Bernadette back. That was my goal. I said, I'm going to make $10,000 a month, and I'm going to call Bernadette back. My 8 months is when I hit executive, had $11,000 a month. Call Bernadette back. It was like a family affair. My wife was like, thank you. I want to get this woman's name from all around my house. So we start taking that. All the kids was like, yay, Bernadette! You know what I mean? It was kind of funny, right? Because I had them on it, too. They were like, who's Bernadette? I was like, a rude lady. She's like a witch. She's mean. Right? So the kids was like, yeah, go, Daddy! So we had that around the table. So I'm calling Bernadette. I couldn't wait, right? This is the most exciting moment of my life. So I'm calling Bernadette. And the phone rings, and it's a guy who answered. I don't remember what he said, but I said, yes, is Bernadette there? And he says, I'm sorry, Bernadette no longer works here. I'm like, no! Oh, my God! I want to look. At that point, though, now when you make $11,000, you're not even mad. You're not even mad. I was actually calling to say, thank you. You drove me. You got me to a place where I did things I wouldn't have done if you wouldn't have come to my life. There's no way I would have worked that hard except for you, being who you were to me, mean self. But like I said on the video, I don't even know if Bernadette was a real person. Maybe, you know, she was sent by God to get me to do the things that I said I wanted to do, just wouldn't go off my butt to do them. Because her name was Bernadette. And because of her, I burned all my debts. That's a real deal. Okay, so what happened, after Bernadette, I had to get a new wife. Because those Bernadette's gone, paid all my bills in 1 month, so Bernadette's name is gone, so what's my new wife? So my wife, because she sacrificed so much, and she was still working at the job, and so, we had the one car, but I dropped my father's pickup truck, so it was a little weird, because I had to take her to work, and then I had to go pick her up from work, and I'm like Mr. Mom in the middle, because of the kids, and so I'm doing all the Mr. Mom stuff, because she has the job at BET, the cable station in D.C., and so she has the job, and I'm the one who's doing the Mr. Mom stuff, and trying to do the prepaid legal, now legal shield stuff in the middle of the day. So that's kind of what was going on in our lives, and so I had to drop her off early, and get the kids up, and do all that kind of stuff. So, but at this television station, there was a window about the size of the stage, and it was really big, right? And so she would kind of wait outside at about 5 o'clock and see if I was out there. Inside, and look outside and see if I was out there. But you know, the headlights looked kind of the same because of where the parking lot was. It wasn't very close. And so, I told you in the beginning, I didn't have a cell phone, so I couldn't even call and say I'm outside. So she had to come outside, see if that was me sometimes, and go back in. Of course, her friends are seeing this. So it's hard to prospect people when they see that you don't have, when the clues of success aren't showing. And that was a nice way of saying that we look broke. So I put this wire down. And because I'm like, you got to know you. You got to know you. I don't know you. I know me. You gotta know you. I'm the type of person, I'll do more for others than I do for myself. And sometimes it's good, non-profit. For profit, sometimes it's not good. And so, me putting down a why, for me, doesn't always drive me. Okay? Unless it's someone that tells me that I can't do something, then it's kind of this energy I get to prove them wrong. But typically, I do more for others. For an example, you ever see the weight loss program? It's like a reality show where it's you and a whole bunch of folks that have to lose weight together, and then they measure that group against this group, and whoever's lost the most weight, they get the points for that particular day or whatever. If I'm in a group like that, then I'm not going to eat any junk food. I'm going to work out because I'll never want to disappoint the group. By myself, man, those hot cookies smell good. I'm just saying, I know me. And I'll eat the cookies, and if I eat cookies, I'm going to eat ice cream too, because maybe it'll go all the way off the cliff, and I'll start tomorrow. That's just me. I know me, though. I know me. I already know me. So, because I know me, if I'm doing stuff for other people, I do more. So I put my wife on as my why. And I said, baby, let me ask you a question. When we start making more money consistently, what type of vehicle do you want? Because I want to surprise you with something. She's like, I don't know. I mean, we'll worry about that right now. We still got to pay people back. That kind of talk. Because we just started making money, right? It's 8 months. And so she still was real nervous because she didn't know if it was going to be consistent. Because it hadn't been consistent up until that point. And so I said, just tell me. She's like, this is a new truck that just came out. It's called a Cadillac Escalade. And I said, you want a truck? And she's like, yeah, I might be looked down. And I was like, all right. You know, she's a little petite. Maybe it makes her feel good. I don't know. So I said, all right. So I went to the Cadillac dealership. Never forget this. This is when it first came out. The first year it came out. Man, you know how you can get the little brochure or whatever that talks about the Cadillac, shows you the interior and everything. So I go and I said, yeah, I'd like to get one of the pamphlets on the new Cadillac truck. So the, you know, salesmen are good. They are good. That's why I have so much respect for salesmen, because they just know how to get you to do stuff you know you can't afford to do. And this guy, as broke as I was, convinced me to come sit down in his office and to fill out an application. To check my credit. Now, I knew how horrible my credit was, but he was so convincing. I'm like, all right. He said, let's give him the old receipt. So I'm like, okay. So I sit down. He goes through, and this is how bad it was. He came back, and he was like, listen, y'all apologize. So embarrassing. He says, you're going to have to get some creative financing. And all that means is that we're not going to finance you here at GM. You're going to get your financing somewhere else and then come back. That was a nice way of saying it, creative financing. And because car salesmen would typically try to get you in something else. Well, listen, the Escalade, but you ever think about this? We also have this. And he didn't even try to give me anything else. He just like, get out and come back with some money. That's how bad it was. All right, make a long story longer. So for months, bust my butt, Miss All. I mean, I was on it, which I do have some notes I'm going to get to and how I was on it. I was on it. You couldn't talk to me anything except prepaid legal seal now. You couldn't talk to me about anything except legal seal. I mean, I turned off the radio. I turned off the television. People were saying, hey, man, did you see this fight? Did you see this game? Nope. Don't even know about it. I knew about nothing. I know it sounds crazy to some of you, and that's okay. Most of you don't have to do this if you don't want what I had in the time frame that I got it. And so I turned off everything. I had to become fanatical about it. But you go look at the wealthiest people and find out they were fanatical about their dream for a minute. They had to sacrifice. I read a book called The Jewish Phenomenon. It talked about short-term versus long-term. A lot of people think short-term is this week, this month, this year. And they talk about short-term being my generation. I'll give up my generation for the next. So I worked hard. I said, look, I'm just going to give it all I have so my kids are left with more. So I was willing to give it all up. I was tired of being broke. So I worked hard. I'll talk about what I'll do later, what I did later. So I worked hard. Went back to the dealership almost a year later. And I saved up all this money. My wife didn't even know it. And but I was driven by that why. And I went to the dealership, and the same guy was there, as a matter of fact. And I said, hey, look, it was Christmas time. I said, I'd like to get this Cadillac Escalade. He said, oh, yeah, come on, sit in my office. And I tried to explain to him who I was. I said, I've been in before, but he didn't remember. I guess salesmen see so many people, they don't remember. And so I tried to explain that I have been here before. He said, oh, okay, so I said, you told me I need to get financing. Oh, did you get the financing? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, I'm just going to actually pay for it. He says, okay, well, let's work out how you. I said, no. We don't need to work anything out. I need to find out how much it is if I just paid for it. Now, I'm not suggesting that anybody pay for anything with cash. It's not the best thing to do with your monies. But when your credit is so horrible and you can't do it, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And so I asked him how much it was. He told me. And I said, okay, well, we can sit down and write a check for it. And I said, I see you have bows on the car because it's Christmas time. I see you have red big bows on the cars in the showroom. Can I get one of those? He said, sir, you can have whatever you like. And so I got this truck, right? It's a brand new white Cadillac Escalade at the time. And I got the red bow, and I had a friend of mine with me. So we drove back to her job, where she used to look out of this window to see if I was out there in my father's pickup truck. And so I parked the truck to about maybe the third row right there, because you couldn't park right up against the window. So maybe at the third row there, and put the red bow on top of it, and walked him a little bag to Fetty, and asked the secretary there if Vanessa was there, who is her boss, Tracy's boss. And she said, sure. And so Vanessa came down. She said, oh, you know Tracy's here? And I said, no, I just wanted to give it to you, and you give it to Tracy. I don't even want Tracy to know I was here. You sure? Because you can come back. I said, no, just give her the bag. And so she says, okay. And so she goes back and gives Tracy the bag. Now, I wasn't back there, so this is Tracy's version now of what happened. So she says, Vanessa came and dropped the bag. I said, Darnell was here and dropped off his bag. And she said, he's actually here? She's like, yeah, but he says that he just wants to give you the bag. They want to come back. And she's like, that's weird. So she says, all her friends, they're kind of around, it's like cubicles, all stuck, because you know how girls can be at the job. Girl, what's your man bring you? What did he get you? So she said, all of a sudden, they all start coming around, like about 6 or 7, like, oh, that's so sweet. What did he bring you? And so she said, I don't know. She had no idea. So she's looking through this little bag of confetti, and at the bottom is a set of Cadillac keys. And she's 8 months pregnant at this time. And she says, my little fat butt was jumping up and down. She's like, oh, my God. Because, I've been talking about it because it was on but she just didn't know we were that close to getting it. And she runs to this window, and I can see her because I'm at the truck. And she's at the window looking out, and I'm leaning against the grill, this brand new white Cadillac Escalade with the red bow like this. Right here, but that's the thing. So she's crying and jumping up and down. Right? So she's crying and like, oh, and I'm like, come on out, right? So she brings, waddles on out, and and comes on out, and she's like, oh my God, please, I know this is not mine. This is mine. It's like, yeah, baby, I told you we were going to do it. This is just the beginning. And she was like, and she couldn't stop crying, and all her friends are coming out there like, oh my God, this is yours. And so she looks at it, right? Because it's a pretty big truck. And she's like, oh my, I can't drive this. I'm like, oh no, we just paid cash for this baby. You driving this today. Right? But, I mean, you know, and so she was so excited. But you know what's funny about people? Let me just say this to you all, Utah. You know what's funny about people? That those same people that was like, oh, nah, we're not interested. We're not, you know, I mean, surface people, when they saw the material things, were like, now, what you do again? And they were like, oh, you got some information on it? Those same people in the parking lot wanted information on prepaid legal, now legal shield, when nothing changed except that they saw something different. So some people, unfortunately, had to see a change. And I think it's sad because we shouldn't be like that. Because I'm actually making more money. I was actually $40,000 richer before I bought the daggone truck. So I actually had more money without the truck. But it just looked like I had more money with the truck. Everybody with me? So it looked like I was richer with the truck. I was actually richer without the truck. I would have been richer if I bought an Escort. Seriously, I would have been richer. But for the... But the perception is you're richer when you buy things that cost more, which really you're not richer. You're a broker. I know that may not be a word, but I just like to make up stuff every now and then when I get excited. Write it down anyway. It's the new word for the day. Broker. All right, so that was my positive story to try to uplift you from being negative. All right, so you ready? And he's like, you spent a whole hour just on your story. You know the story sale? And stories actually infuse, they actually get inside of people when it's not just the facts. People stick around because of the stories. People quit with facts because they only base it on the facts. Well, the facts are, but it's the story they're mostly attached to. And it's like, man, if it happened for him, it could happen for me. And that's what kept me going. I was like, man, I can do that. You know what I mean? Even if it wasn't to that same extreme, it just felt like, man, if I could do a little something. And not everybody's looking for the same thing. I got a couple in their 70s. And I saw them in the holiday season, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. They did the business with me for 3 years, back in 2001 to 2004. And it stopped because Mr. Smith had some severe health challenges. And so even she stopped doing the business. They stopped coming out to the weekly briefings. I saw them about a year ago during the Christmas time. And they were so excited. They gave me the biggest hug. And she was like, Darnell, thank you so much for everything. And I was like, is everything going well? How are you feeling? How's your health? And so we had this quick conversation. They said, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? She said, we've been receiving checks from Prepaid Legal, which is now Legal Shield, for $700 every month for the last 6 months. And I said, are you serious? She says, yeah. And she said, but here's the thing. We work for the phone company for all of our lives and don't make that a Social Security. And she said, we're shopping for our grandkids right now, and we wouldn't be able to buy them the gifts that we're buying right now if it wasn't for the work we did back for those few years. Isn't that powerful? So what I'm saying is not everybody's looking for the Cadillac Escalade. Not everybody's looking. So be careful how you approach people. Because some folks, if it is made extra $7 a month, they'd be excited about that. Everybody with me? That would prevent them from being behind on some of their bills. Okay. So I got some training here for you today. I really do. So I am a storyteller. I tell a lot of stories, by the way. For those who are used to my training, I'll tell about 6 or 7 stories and never even get into training. I will. But you know what's funny? Is that we created more success from the stories than the facts. Because you're going to figure out the facts along the way. But the stories keep you in long enough to figure out the facts. The facts don't keep you in long enough to learn the story, though. Did y'all get that? And so it's the stories. When you run into somebody who's 75, say, oh my gosh, I'm working with somebody who's 75 right now in South Carolina. Let me tell you what just happened. They just introduced their great-nephew. The great-nephew was in insurance. Got in his first 6 months. Made about $40,000 with a young lady who's 75 years old. She made an override over the past 6 to 7 months, about $8,000. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, but it's not because of her. It was because she introduced him. And she already had a couple of other folks that were doing a little bit, but not as much as him. He did executive right away. Everybody with me? So I have all these stories in my head. I got so many stories in my head. It doesn't matter what you come to me with right now. You come in with an 18-year-old story, or an 18-year-old who has an objection. I got an 18-year-old story. You come to me and say, I don't know a lot of people in the area. Look, I know people just came from Cameroon, Africa. French is their native tongue. Don't even speak the English language. Don't know anybody, not in the state, in the country. They're from Cameroon. So you're telling me you don't know people in Utah. It doesn't mean anything to me. How about not knowing anybody in the country? And I can tell you his story. Everybody with me? So I got story after story after story. It doesn't matter. You say, well, I'm a pastor. You know what I mean? I go out and do all this ministry work, and I'm in the church every single day. And I said, and my fellow ministers don't agree with me, and they're hard on me because they feel like I'm putting the money before the church, before my ministry. And I say, that's okay. You know, as a Christian, Jesus didn't perform any of his miracles inside the church. And so the ministry has to take place outside of the church. Otherwise, you're only talking to the people who are already saved. Everybody with me? So you're supposed to be out there talking to people. So it doesn't matter. You can give me a Muslim one. I can tell you about my Muslim brothers and sisters. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. I got a whole bunch of stories for you today. Everybody with me? But that won't come overnight. That's coming years of me taking notes, listening to the leadership show. Man, great story. Right? Because they have great stories on the leadership show Monday at, what is it here, 9 o'clock. So I'm getting stories. I'm on my team conference call. It's like, oh, great story. And I'm taking notes. So I'm not just taking notes on how do you market the membership? How did you go through the flip book and best way to handle objections? I'm not just taking notes on that. I'm taking stories because I know when I meet somebody, they're going to have an objection. I know they're going to say, well, I don't like sales. So I got to be able to talk to them about the teacher who's never sold anything in their life except a math test. Everybody with me? So I got to be able to say, look, I got a teacher right now I'm working with. She's never done any kind of sales. She was so scared when she got started. She was like, look, I'm just talking to kids, not adults. And even some of the adults I talk to make me think of the kids. So I really don't want to do this. But we had convinced her, encouraged her to get started. And let me tell you what she did. Because she has this teaching thing inside of her, and she really does like to help, it came through. I said, look, all I want you to do is keep that same teaching spirit that you have. Don't change that into a salesperson spirit. Keep that same teaching thing you have. And I can tell you that quick story, which I don't have to, because I'll tell you a story. I told you, look, I'm already at 7 stories. I told you what I was going to do. Why are you making me tell all these stories? But you get my point. All right, so I got a whole bunch of stories, my point. I got a whole bunch of stories. No matter where you come from, you're coming to me with a story. That's the reason why you can't do it, I'll combat it with a story why you can. But it's because I'm taking notes on stories, all these notes, in my cell phone. I'm in the notes section. Like, every time I hear a story, I'm like, ooh, good note, I'm going to use it. Go out to the meeting after the meeting. Somebody's going to tell a story, and I'm going to take a note on it. I'm like, oh, that's good. Right? It could be a member story. Doesn't matter if it's a member story or an associate story, I'm taking a note on it. Every time, every week, I get more stories. Every month, you do too. Corporate Connections Magazine. You just don't read them, you just don't take notes on them. And everything, you have the same access I do, but the stories sell. That's what that means. We hear it, but what does that mean? It means you got to have a whole repertoire, a whole library of stories inside of you. It's amazing. That's why I carry around a profile of success. So I say, well, I'm an engineer. Oh, I got an engineer right here. Tell you about this guy right here. Engineer, $80,000 a year. As a matter of fact, was hired right out of college for the number one engineering firm out of Massachusetts. In the country, as a matter of fact. So he's in Massachusetts, moved back to the Maryland area, and I talked to him at the time. You know, had a great job, making $8,000 a year, but still broke for whatever reason. And I'm here to talk about his financial situation, but still didn't have a lot of money. And maybe, you know, because he might have a nice car, a nice house. I don't know. But the bottom line is he got started with our company. He was the first person that I knew in my particular organization that built a bi-coastal organization because he was originally from California. And now he's earned 6 figures every single year for the last 10 years in a row. His name is Bert Calhoun. Came from an engineer back. So my point is, I got so many stuff. It doesn't matter. And that's what? You know what's so wonderful about that story? You can tell it too because it's in the profile of success. Even though it's my team, it's your team too. Because your team is my team. My team is your team. Because when you go through, you go, look, here's one of my business partners right here. You don't have to say it's in your genealogy. It doesn't matter. I tell people the stories all the time. I feel like, man, they knew I told this story this much. So that has to be my team. Does that make sense, everybody? That's why you got to tell, look, bedtime stories. You got to start reading to your spouse a bedtime story out the profile of success. Let me tell you a bedtime story tonight, baby. I had to get her involved. Man, my wife was negative. She wasn't negative. She was protective. That's a nice way of saying negative. She was a little protective because she didn't understand how this was going to work for us. Why are you going to meetings and come home with no money? I'm like, because nobody showed up. I mean, I don't know. She's like, well, how does that work? Because, you know, when the job, you go to work, you get paid. Here, you go to work, like you're here today, for hours, 4 hours, however long we're going to be here. I think we end at 2, right? So you're here for whatever, from 10 to 2. And you come home with no money. At a work day, you're supposed to go home with some money. So it's hard to explain to people that don't understand business what that means. Sow seed, cultivate, then you reap the harvest. The harvest is so much greater than if you trade the time for money. We don't trade time for money here. That's the difference. So you got to help people understand, look, you sow the seed, later on you get a harvest. And guess what? Out of that harvest, more harvest is great. That's like an apple, right? I always tell people all the time, look, I can count how many seeds are in an apple, but I can never count how many apples are in that seed. You guys get that? So once that harvest comes up, that one apple creates a whole whole forest of apple trees. Because that seed drops down, creates more trees. Those trees produce more fruit. That fruit drops down, more seeds, more trees, more fruit. So all of a sudden, that one seed, that one apple created a whole forest. Orchid. Everybody with me? All right, good. Same thing happened in my business. But in the beginning, though, it was tough. Because it was me and the apple. I'm like, come on, baby. You got to do more than this. Because you can't feed the whole family. I need some trees. All right. Y'all ready for the training? So I was like, man, come on. All right, so. All right, so you got the first thing I already talked about, which is write down your reason why. Why are you doing the business? Now, you don't have to write down your reason why now, but write down that you have to write down your reason why. Okay, because some of you, it'll take you a long time to write down your reason why. You're like, I don't know, let me think about it. We don't have time for you to think about it. So write down that you're going to have to write down your reason why, even though you don't have to write down your reason why. Are you confused yet? So what I'm saying is you don't have to say, I'm going to retire my spouse. I'm like, you don't have to say the reason why you're doing the business yet, but write down that later on I want you to revisit that note. Okay, and say, okay, I got to think more about this. And it's got to be something that's going to drive you. Can't just be, I don't make 10 grand a month. Okay, so when you make 10,000 a month, what do you want to do with it? Okay, it's like the guy I talked to, and he said, $10,000 a month. I said, okay, well, what do you want to do with $10,000 a month? I'll buy a house. Okay, why do you want to buy a house? Because that's not enough, even buying a house. Because if it seems like it's too far away, you still won't come to every event. So why do you want to buy a house? He's like, my kids, need more room. I said, why do your kids need more room? He said, because I have three and they're sleeping in the same room right now. I said, so what's the problem with them sleeping in the same room? He's like, because I have girls and boys and they're not wanting to sleep in the same room anymore. I said, okay, so how does that make you feel though? Why is that going to make you do it? He says, because when I go in their room to kiss them goodnight, they said, Daddy, are we going to get our own room soon? And I said, how does that make you feel? He said, it hurts. I said, why does it hurt? He said, because I can't get them their own room right now. And I don't know how to answer them. I can't. I mean, I can say, yeah, but I don't have a date in mind because I don't have a plan. And I said, and so that makes you feel like, he said, like I have to do this business. I said, that's what I was talking about right there. You have to do it. So you have to go to the weekly briefing. You have to go out and expose to somebody. I said, so when you kiss your kids goodnight now and that tear comes in your eye, you get that emotion when they say, so Daddy, are we going to have our own room soon? I want you to start thinking about that as you're out there marketing a business. Because that's what's driving you. Because you can't stand to disappoint your kids. And you say, you're right. I can't. It hurts right now as I'm telling you this. Do you guys get what I'm saying? But guess what we started? We started at $10,000 a month. That wasn't even it. He thought it was it. That's why I said, write down your reason why. But don't write down your reason why. Just write down so you have to go visit it and try to figure out what it really is. Do you guys get that? Okay. Because that's what's going to keep you pushing. Even when you're going to get the no. Because you're going to get some no's. And you're going to get a whole lot of them. You're going to get some rejection, and you're going to get a whole lot of it. You're going to get some opposition, and you're going to get a whole lot of it. Now, I know some of you are saying, Mrs. Self, can you please not tell my new associates that? I'm actually doing you a favor. I'm doing you a favor because I'm preparing them for the real adversity. People don't want a get-rich-quick. They think they do, but they don't. Because who you're becoming along the way with all those oppositions is making you the person that can go back and lead other people to that same place. If you skipped over to here, you can't lead anybody else to there because you jumped over it all. Everybody with me? So you really don't even want somebody to just give you executive because you can never help anybody else get there, which means that your position is temporary. Everybody with me? And so write down your reason why, or at least write down that you're going to have to write down your reason why. Got it? Did you know that even though I said this, that statistically, now I know we got the superstars here, but statistically, 80% of people in the room will still not write down their reason why, even though they wrote a note to write down their reason why. Like they heard the person, they brought the person in. We're going to bring the guy in who's made the money, and he's going to tell us what to do. And then he comes and he tells us what to do, and we still don't do it. What in the world is wrong with us? Isn't that crazy? I'm just telling you. I'm telling you what I know. Because a lot of people look at you like you're special. You know what I mean? What'd you do? I just did what everybody taught me to do. I just did it, though. You guys getting this? Look, I'm so excited for you all. Because I know how many millionaire club members we can create out of this market, how many six-figure millionaires we can create out of this market. Because all it is finding other people out there who want to have the accomplishments that we're talking about here. And you're not the only one in Utah that wants to have these accomplishments. But there's a whole bunch of folks who say they want it, but don't really want what they say they want. And you got to be able to sort through them to find the person. And sometimes it's the people that join that say they want it but don't really want it. And you got to go through them to find a person that they know who really does want it and willing to do what it takes to get it. You guys got it? And they're out there. That's a wonderful thing. And they're out there. And the thing I love about our business is that it can go along like this. And sometimes it goes like this. And sometimes it goes like this. And then all of a sudden, it explodes out of nowhere. Because it's exponential. It's not addition. At a job, it's addition. You don't find people to go from 20,000 to 80,000 at their job. You can't make 20,000 a year this year at Walmart, and then they're going to give you a raise to 80. That just doesn't happen. But here, you can go from 20 to 80. I know people who went from 4 to 40,000. I know people have gone from 18,000 to over 100,000 because they just struggled, and then all of a sudden, because it wasn't about them. That's why I'm looking in your eyes right now, because it's not about you. It's about you introducing someone who wants it just like you do, and together, 1 + 2 = 3. You all get what I'm saying? And it grows exponentially. You can't control it if you want it to. You can't stop it at that point. And once you identify it, you're going to say, my gosh, all this time I was wasting time because now I know what it looks like. Once you can identify, it's easy for you. It's like Donald Trump. That's how you can lose a million, make a million, lose a million, make a million, lose a million, make a million for the first person to ever make their half a million. Because he's got the recipe. He already knows what it looks like. Like grandma knows what the cake, even though the recipe she doesn't need anymore because she knows the pinch of this, the pinch. Everybody with me? Same thing here. Once you realize how to identify the associate that really does want it, you'll say, man, this is what I've been looking for. You know what that associate looks like? It's a person that shows up in spite of you. It's a person that's already here before you got here. That person says, well, are you going? I mean, I don't know. I was thinking about it. All right, well, if you go, I'll go. That's not the person yet. But the person says, oh, I'm going. You don't have to if you don't want to, but I get involved for you. I'm going to be there. That's their associate who's already here before you get here. And they have two people with them. And when you see that, you're going to say, this is what I've been talking about. But you've been wasting time trying to make people become that person. And you can't make anybody into that person until they decide to become that person. Got it? All right. That was actually way down here on my notes, so I kind of skipped to it. Sorry. Cross out sorting. All right. So, why? Number one, why? Still at number one. Oh, I guess we just have to come back. All right, number one, why? All right. Man, this is so crazy. All right, I'm sorry. I got to take a pause because I have a story with the why I got to tell. I do. I was trying so hard not to tell it. I was like, don't tell another story. But I have to because it's good. All right, so, all right, I'm sorry. I promise. The last half an hour, I'm really going to get to it, all right? All right, so this really does mean a lot. This is how I grew my business in all stories. Ask Mr. Humes. He'll say, man, Mrs. Zell just tells story after story. And I still, if you join my comments, you hear me tell story after story after story after story because the story sells. Whatever. All right, so here's the story. So my son, my youngest son, who's 11, so he was 10 then, was going for his black belt. And the school that we belong to, you have to fight existing black belts to get your black belt. So because you fight under belts, it still doesn't prepare you for the black belt because you're fighting people who are under belts, not black belts. Okay. But you can't just fight one black belt. You have to fight every black belt that shows up for the test. So a lot of the black belts from the school who've been black belts for years, second degree, third degree, fourth degree, show up just to kind of help these people cross the line, if you will. It's fun for them. And so for his age group, there was about 11 or 12 that showed up to fight him, plus the four who were going for the black belt. Okay? So he's in this arena. It's like a cage kind of thing, but it's padded. And so they bring him in one by one. And this isn't like UFC. He has a helmet or a padded gear, right? So he's padded up. And so he goes in, and he looks at me, and I'm like, go for it. Now, his mother didn't show up because she doesn't want to see this. Even though she's proud of him for getting his black belt, she didn't want to see this. Now, just so you all know, he prepared for it because he had to run 3 miles 3 days a week. He had to do 200 push-ups a day, 500 sit-ups every day, 500 kicks every other day. All right, so he's prepared for this. They don't just throw you in there. You really have to prepare for this. Your stamina has to be high. And for anybody who's ever boxed or fought before, it's different from running on a treadmill. You lose a lot. In one kick, you lose some. Okay, you lose some of your energy. So they bring in the first person, the second person, third person, fourth, and he's doing good. He's holding his own. The key is not to win. The key is to survive. Everybody with me? Same thing if you're out there in the streets and you're defending yourself. The key is to survive that alley Right? Now, you don't have to beat up four guys, but you should be able to survive it. Now, the reason why they haven't fight so many people, I'm going to get to this why. The reason why they haven't fight so many people is because they want to see if he can still hold to his technique strong when he's at his weakest point. So, because after you fought about 7 or 8 people, your energy is gone, because each of these folks are about 2 to 3 minutes in length. So he's already in there for more than 15 minutes, and anybody that's ever fought holding your gloves up just like this for 15 minutes without fighting is tough. So 15 minutes, he's giving it to him. And so the next guy comes in, they're coming in fresh. He's been in 15 minutes. The next fresh guy comes in fresh, and he's like, you know what I mean? This guy's coming in fresh, and he kicked him so hard in his face, and he went down to the ground. And I was like, Makai, get up, Makai, come on, you can do it. And I'm trying to encourage him from the side of the cage, get up. And so he gets up, and he spits his mouthpiece out. When his mouthpiece comes out, all his blood comes out with it. And I'm like, oh. And so the trainer comes in and, you know, puts a time, and he comes back to his corner. And I didn't realize that the mouthpiece, as he's getting hit all the time, he had braces, and the braces were cutting the inside of his lips. And so we take him to the little bathroom right there, let him rinse his mouth out, and he's crying, but not uncontrollably, just like this. And he's crying. I was like, son, do you still want to do this? And he says, yes, I still want to do it. And I said, you sure? He said, yes. And I said, all right, well, you still have a few more people to fight. You want to go back in? He said, yes. So he put the mouthpiece back in, he goes in and continues to fight. And again, it wasn't pretty, by the way, but he was still keeping the technique, but he was getting tagged. So here's the more of the story. At the end, you know, he gets awarded with his black belt, and he's happy. And he comes over, and his mouth is swollen, his bruised arms, and I'm like, your mother's going to kill us. And this is what he says to me. He said, Dad, I said, yes. He says, thank you for coming on your birthday. And I said, you're welcome anytime. I mean, I wouldn't have missed this for the world. He said, well, you know the reason why I wouldn't stop. And I said, why? He said, because it was your birthday, and it was your birthday gift for me to get my black belt. And no matter how hard it hurt, I wanted to make sure you were happy on your birthday. And look, I'm a grown man, right? And I'm like, tears. I'm like, oh, you stop, man. You're messing me up, right? I'm a black belt. I'm supposed to be, you know what I mean? I'm like, stop. And he was like, so he gave me this hug, and he says, you're proud of me? I said, I'm very proud of you. He says, happy birthday. My point is, I didn't know this. All he could think about in there as he's getting hurt is, I want my daddy to be happy on his birthday. And his why was so strong that no matter how bad it hurt, he wanted in the end for me to say, I'm proud of you and I'm happy. And he wanted to be able to say, happy birthday, I got my belt for you. Your why will keep you going through all this pain, because you're going to go through some pain, right? But it's not going to kill you. It's not going to kill you. I would step in front of a bullet for my family and without even thinking twice about it. Would take my life for them. But why wouldn't I take a no or ridicule for the same family that I would die for? That won't kill me. You guys get what I'm saying? That could bless them where they never have to worry about things again. And so all I'm saying is that that why has got to be strong. It's got to be really strong. I mean, really, really strong. And you can change it, okay? Because you may have to adjust it along the way. And that's fine. All right. Number two. Number two. So you got your why. Number two is you have to have a great attitude to succeed here. So let's talk about this attitude part real quick. Because I got to get to the how-tos, but you got to get to the why-to before you get to the how-to. The how-to. So you have to have a great attitude. How do you get a great attitude? Because some folks say, well, you know, I think I have a great attitude. If people have to ask you often, what's wrong? Are you okay? Then something's wrong. Right? If you find people ask you, is everything okay? Then that means that you don't have the right disposition. Right? So you have to find a way that you become attractive. That means you walk in, people are like, oh my gosh, it's so good to see. They almost, you brighten them up. You can't have a team of people where you dim their lights. When they call you, they expect to be more excited when they get off the phone. If they get off the phone with you and they're less excited, that's a problem. They're like, yeah, man, I don't know, boy, this is tough. Ooh, I know what you mean, it's tough for me too. That's not a leader. You can't co-sign with their weaknesses. You have to be able to say, listen, that's okay. It happens to the best of us. You got 3 no's today? Congratulations on reaching the Millionaire's Club. They're going to say, what do you mean? Because everybody's in the Millionaire's Club that has more than 3 no's. So you're actually on your way to the Millionaire's Club, but getting 3. Just get about 900 more and you're on your way. See the difference? Okay. So attitude. How do you get a great attitude? Great associations. Write that down. Associations and personal development. associations, and personal development. Associations, talk about that one first. The five people you hang around with most will have you think like you think, talk like you talk, right? Act like you act. It's just the way it is. Okay, so who are the five people you hang around most? And how do they have you talk? Where do they have you thinking? And it's tough sometimes because sometimes we're married to the person who's influencing us the other way. And we have to work with them because you can't just leave them. Right? I want you to go home and say, well, Mr. Self-Say, I got to change the five people I hang around most, and you are one of them. You know what I mean? Don't do that. Right? Work with them. They're your spouse. Everybody else you can get rid of for a minute. Right? But not your spouse. Keep her or him. Right? But just think, man, what if I told my wife, listen, I can't hang around with you right now? Because she wasn't really that supportive. But I was doing it for her. She just didn't understand that at the time. So it wasn't that she was next. She just didn't. It was her experience. It's what she had gone through in her own life, right? With her parents working jobs. So it wasn't her fault. So a lot of people think the way they think because of their environment, because of their past, because of different things they've gone through. So my point is the five people you hang out with most. Be careful with those five. I'm telling you, I just can't. I don't know where I'd be today if I didn't have good associations along the way, especially when it's in my trying time. It's easy when you start making money, right? You attract new friends. But it's tough when you're going through looking to do this. Because folks will say, listen, have you made any money yet? Are you rich yet? You make $1 million yet? You're going to hear all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? You've been in for 7 years. You ain't rich yet? You've been working for a job for 7 years. You ain't rich yet? I mean, don't say that, but you get my point. So folks didn't understand. They wanted me to have it right away. So it was a little difficult dealing with that kind of stuff. So association, I had to hang out with positive people. Look, we had to hang out with a couple of went to church with. Great friends of ours. Great friends of ours. And I had to stop hanging out with them for a minute. We called it limiting my association with them. Limiting. I didn't have to disassociate. I had to limit it. Because they used to say things like, well, listen, I know you guys feel bad leaving the kids all the time. Sure I do, but why are you telling me that? You see, man, this is stuff. Instead of saying, listen, that sacrifice that you're making right now is going to be so worth it. They're going to be so proud of you as a dad. That's what I needed to hear. I didn't hear that, hey, man, you're missing everything. I can't believe you weren't here for the birthday party. I'm already feeling bad. I already had to make some short-term pain, some short-term sacrifices. So I needed people around me to say, to encourage me, because I already felt that. Everybody with me? So I no longer ate with them after church. I always told them we had something to do. So my wife was like, we're not going out with them? I was like, no, I can't. It was tough, because they would always say things like, well, listen, we know you got the one car, so if you need anything, call us. They thought that was good, to say, if you need me, call. You couldn't just say, if you need me, call us. You need to say, because I know you got the one car. I know I got one car. You know I got one car. All we got to talk about is we having one car. When everybody in this conversation, everybody in this dialogue right now, know I got one car. So who are you informing about the one car? We all know it. See? They could have said, look, if you need anything, let me know. You don't have to say, because you got the one car. You can leave the because out. You guys getting this? So association. No, by the way, that same couple now are some of our best friends. They just joined Legal Shield this year, 2011. Just joined. So what I'm saying is, we made over $7 million in Legal Shield. Sometimes you're going to have to make a whole lot of money for people to come along. You can make $300,000 and some people won't come. Because some of you think, man, when I start making my first $100,000, everybody's going to come. Not necessarily. Am I right, Ms. All? Not necessarily. You make $100,000 and still not necessarily. Make $1 million, Ms. All's made over $1 million, not necessarily. So I want some of you to think, man, the floodgates will open up when I make this money. Not necessarily. Okay? Because some folks are going to say, your success is now my failure to themselves. And they feel like it's too late, man. I should have got started when you first told me. Well, I told you that, first of all. And second of all, it's not too late. Because you just got somebody who's starting to earn 6 figures this year. That could have been you. And it's going to be somebody else next year. That can be you. So you can keep saying it, or you can get started right now so we can change it. Got it? Okay, good. All right, so you got that association? Be careful with it. Be very, very careful with it. Hang out with somebody who's sending out long-distance packages. You hang out with somebody who's doing prospecting. You'll feel like you have to do it because you almost feel uncomfortable in that circle without being a part of the circle. It's like if you're hanging out with people that read and they start talking about the book, is you can only lie for a certain amount of time. Yeah, that book was good, man. It was something else. Wasn't that chapter 3, man? It was. At some point, you can lie about that. And at some point, they're going to say, yeah, well, so what was the best part of chapter 3? Just the part about, you know, becoming more. I mean, you say something generic because you think. But at some point, it's not going to work. So you hang out with people to read. Like, I'm forced to read because I hang out with people to read. So we're always talking about different things that we're getting out of the book. So there's no way I can't read. I got the book of the month for the team. So there's no way I can't read because they're going to call me and say, man, what does it mean by this? And I'm like, what am I going to say? Well, I mean, I don't know. I haven't read the book myself, but I just want you to read it. Got it? All right, so that's personal development. Okay? So personal development, growing yourself. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. You'll find that it works. Okay? Start listening to things, reading books. Coming here is personal development as well. Okay? Because all of a sudden you start saying things you wouldn't have said before if you weren't in an environment that that put inside of you the things that you want to come out of you. Got it? Next. Let me skip here. Let's do the 20-80 rule real quickly. There's a 20-80 rule. 20% of people do 80% of the work. Okay? 20% of people do 80% of the work. So here's what happens. In our business, you're going to find that some people join, some people don't. But even the people that join, that you think because they joined they would want to do the business, there's still a 20-80 rule once they join. Okay? So that means that 20% of people do 80% of the work. So if you have six people on your team, you're saying, look, I thought I had more people here. I have six people on my team, and I mean, I knew you were coming to town. I just thought I had more. Well, let's take 20% of six, which is 1.2. So you should only have one and kind of a leg here with them. You know what I mean? Like one whole person and then a leg. That's it. So it's just the way it is. It works that way all the way up. Mr. Hall tell you the same thing. I'll tell you the same thing. Mr. Murphy tell you the same thing. It's the way all the way up. It doesn't matter. It's just all the way up. If you got 100 people on your team, you got about 20 working. It's the way it is. Don't feel bad. Business is that way everywhere. Okay? Just like you're going to have those 20% is going to get more no's than 80% because the 20% is more active. So that's okay because they're the ones going to say, man, I'm getting all these no's. Sure you do because you're most active. If I open up a Starbucks on a busy street, that Starbucks is going to get more no's than a Starbucks that's in a neighborhood without the busy street. But that Starbucks that gets the more no's will make the most money. Are y'all getting this? So that's just business. It's the way it is. So you can choose. You can get less no's and make less money. If you want, you can get your Starbucks in a neighborhood where most people that drive by say yes because they're your neighbors, but you make a lot less money. Put it in a place where you're going to get a lot more no's, more cars going to drive by without even stopping in. Same rejection, we just happen to get out up front. Because the people don't pull into Starbucks and say, just was driving by, wanted to say no, hate coffee. Nobody's going to do that. Right? But same rejection, they're just driving by. Here it's kind of up front in our face. But same rejection, that's all. So, 20-80 rule. So don't stress yourself out. I used to do that, by the way. I used to get so upset. I'm like, you invested your $249, I don't understand. Why aren't you coming out? You know, I just get upset because I really wanted it for people so badly. But you can't do that. You can't do that to folks because some folks really are dealing with some situations in their life where they really can't participate right now and be effective. They almost need to stay at home. Right? And so because they're dealing with some things, do you know people deal with real issues? Like taking care of their elderly mom, let's say, and mom really needs someone to stay at home with her. And they're having a challenge with having someone come in to stay at home. And you're like, no, you need to come. Fine. You leave her at home by herself. That's insensitive. So some people are really going through things. You have to kind of let them do this at the speed that they can do it. Does that make sense to everybody? So you're going to have that 20-80 rule, but don't force it. Let it grow. The 20% will grow even from some of the 80%ers. That means some of the 80%ers who are not doing that much will introduce a 20%er. So your 20% will still grow if you allow your team to grow and progress without beating up on them. People didn't get involved to have a job. They got involved to have a business. Let's talk real quickly about selling memberships and recruiting people. Real quickly, and then I'm going to talk about how to get them active and successful. And by the way, I also, last night we had a question and answer session, and a couple of folks wrote some questions out. And I have those down that I'm actually just going to put them into the training, so you won't even hear me say, well, the next question was, it's just kind of in here. And so you have to get it. Okay, so make sure you take notes on it. The only one I'm not going to answer, but you can come up to me personally, was a question about Prime America. I'd be happy to answer that, but it really doesn't have anything to do with everybody else in here, so it'd be kind of crazy to talk about it in front of everybody when it's a personal question. So feel free to come up if you had that question about Prime America. I'd be happy to help you out with that. So let's talk about selling memberships and recruiting real quickly, and then talk about how to get that organization off to a good start and effective. So we got 20 minutes to do that. You guys ready? I know I said I was going to slow down, but man, 20 minutes, I might talk a little faster. All right. Prospecting. You can prospect for memberships, prospect for associates. And it's completely up to you. People, you know, say, well, what's the difference? Should I recruit to sell? You know, should I lead off recruiting? Should I lead off with selling? You know, when I'm prospecting someone, should I look for people who want the membership? Should I look for people who want to get in the business? Look, there's no right or wrong way. There's some people just really good at going out and getting memberships. And I don't try to deter them and try to turn them around and say, well, why aren't you building a business? Recruit more people. I let them do whatever they feel comfortable doing. Because in that gift, they should focus on it. There's a book out that talks about how to focus on your strength, not your weakness. Even though sometimes people tell us, focus on your weakness. Well, it's my weakness. Why would I focus on something that I'm weak in instead of getting better at the gift that I've been given? Like some people, no matter how much they study math, they just can't. It takes them too long to really understand math. Does that make sense? Bless you. Does that make sense, everybody? But they're great at English. So if they focus on English, they can then provide more for the world in the gift that they've been given. It's the same thing here. Some people just sell, I have folks on the team, they sell 20 memberships every single month. They just do. They get small groups, they get small business, they're great at that. I'm not going to turn them away from that and say, you need to start recruiting. Look, I'll allow them to transition in recruiting if they want to. They come out to Super Saturday, they come out to things like this, so I know they'll eventually grow in that direction. So allow people to go in a direction that they're gifted in. That doesn't mean send everybody to group school and tell everybody to start doing group when some folks aren't effective yet enough to go into businesses and actually speak with the decision makers and actually be able to close those groups. That's why you have group trainers. That's why you have other people that have already done it, that you can use them to assist you in those things, okay? So I have a ton of people to get. Like myself, the only groups I get is like for 7 people. For the biggest one I've done is 14 people. Which I don't mind doing a group of 14 people. There's nothing wrong. That's the best groups. Those are the ones that are easy. Get in and get out. That's me. The big groups cause me problems. I've tried to do them for my associates. I told my associates, don't call me for big groups. I'm not the right person. Because, you know, I get agitated dealing with employees. Because I haven't been employed in so long, and they're rude to me sometimes. It's always one rude employee. And even though I've gone to the group school, I've learned how to deal with it. I just don't get it right. I can, but that's not my gift. So last person I told, I said, that's why you work here right now. And I'm going to ask on my way home. Can you believe I said that? It was so, the lady was like, no! This man, so she was like, oh my God, please. So don't invite me into your big groups. That's all I'm saying. That's not my gift. I got mad. I'm still working on me. I'm not perfect. God's not finished with me yet. So work on your gift, whatever that is. Okay, so recruiting and sales, sell to recruit, that's not my objective to handle that today. I want you to do whatever you feel good about. What I did when I got started is I sold more memberships than recruiting because I needed upfront money. And I figured, hey, look, if I can sit down with somebody today and get the membership, I can make some money today. All right, so that was my goal. So we went through the flipbook presentation, which you also have access to. Looks like that on the cover. And I went through the flipbook presentation. I always stop right there after the membership, have the application right there inserted into that part. Where the membership is, I mean, where it ends. So, because the worst thing to do when you're marketing a service is to go pull out an app later. Like, oh, you want it? And now you're reaching for stuff. And it looks like, oh, you know, and by the time you're reaching, they're thinking, they're asking questions. I'm already, like, I assume the sale. I know you're going to want this. This is the most amazing membership in the world. So I actually got a membership right here for you to fill out right now. Everybody get me? So I actually have a membership right in my flipbook. So when I get to that page, it's the membership. I said, all right, great. So I know you said you saw the value, protect your family for $1 a day, right? I said, yeah. Well, great. Here's what we're going to do, okay? Make sure you start taking advantage of this right away. We're actually going to fill out this application here. What's the best address to send this membership kit to? And we're filling out so I'm not saying, so do you want it? So what did you think? That's what people do. So what did you think? Would you like it? I don't know. Let me think about it. Because you asked them what to think. Now they're going to think because you told them to think. You don't need to think. You want it. You already said you wanted it. Right? And because you're not really looking for, I would like to take advantage of the membership today for $35.95 plus a $10 enrollment fee. They're not going to say that. So if they say that, yeah, this makes sense to me. Makes sense to me means you want it to me. Makes sense. I could use that. I see the value. All that says yes. So they may not say, yes, I would like the Legal Shield membership today. Can you please pull out that application and start filling it out for me? That's not going to necessarily happen. Y'all getting this? So when you go through the flipbook presentation with your cousin tonight or whoever you're going to go to, you just say, look, I was so excited. I saw some information today. I just knew that you were the first person I should share this with. So I just real quickly want to do this quick 15-minute presentation, okay? And then we can watch that movie later on tonight that we were talking about. All right, so listen, a couple of things. You guys getting this? You can just go through the flipbook or call a number and listen to it, okay? Either way. But when you stop at the membership part, okay, because the worst thing to do is to go through an entire presentation, and now because they're not really sure whether they want to participate with the opportunity, they want to think about it all. Because people don't know how to separate it, because you've gone through the whole thing. Now it's like, well, let me think about it. Well, you do sit about your membership, don't you? Yeah, but I just want to think. Let me talk to such and such about it. Now they want to think about everything. You don't need to think about everything. If I only went over one, I'm going to go ahead and get the membership right now because that's how you got paid and that's how you empower them. Got it? So even if you're recruiting yourself, even if I know that this is the person I think would be good in the business, I'm still selling the membership first, because if they're going to do the business, they still need to get the membership. So either way, you can sell the membership. If they're not going to do the business, sell the membership. If they're going to do the business, still got to sell the membership. Got it? All right, good. So that's the membership. So have a pin out. Have your tools out. Don't have wrinkled up applications that look like, you know, you've been in your car for 3 years with, you know, underneath the floor mat. You know, make it look professional. Hello? Okay, you are professional, so make sure you're professional. I'm not saying you go over your friend's house with a suit on. I'm just saying you keep it professional, okay? That means that you aren't drinking beers as you're going over this. Okay, so that's all I'm saying. Drink the beer after if you drink. I'm not here to judge you. I'm just saying do that afterwards. Don't let them make a decision while they're a little slightly intoxicated. Then they call a lawyer. You said you was going to do this for me. I think that's how drunk people sound. All right, so. All right, so the membership. So you set a membership. And by the way, the way I set my appointments for the membership, everybody's a little different. This is why I keep coming to training. This is why I've gone to 7 group schools, because I always learn these different tips and stuff. Not because I'm a big group guy. I just like learning tips from everybody. Small business class, the same thing. Super Saturday, same thing. I'm just a guy I like to learn from everybody. Anybody else like that? I just like to learn little tips. I keep picking up different tips from different people and different things to do. So everybody approaches slightly different. Look, I don't want you to think there's one cookie cutter. There is like a 4-lane highway. We're all heading this direction, so things are slightly different. Same system, though. Same philosophy to drive us in the same direction, but maybe slightly different words. This is why I tell people be careful with the script. Because the script is used for framework, not necessarily word for word. So you have to kind of put your personality into it. Otherwise, it sounds a little weird when you call and the script doesn't sound like you. It kind of goes like this. Hi, Mike Darnell. I'm so excited about the information that was just shared with me. I would like about 15 minutes to show you. You may or may not be interested. It's weird. You know what I mean? Because your friends are going to say, you all right? Somebody got a gun to your head? Are you, you know? Yeah, you need me to come on? You know? So it's a little weird. So you have to kind of make it, you know what I'm saying? So still kind of make it you. Yes, use a script. You know, if you want to, fine. But, you know, use it as framework. That way you can kind of judge, okay, good. But just don't change up stuff where it doesn't even mean the same. Okay? But make it you. That's all I'm saying. So when I call folks, you know, one of my first customers was my mother-in-law's best friend. And what Dave Savola said, you just get in front of the people and belly to belly and sell the membership. Marketing membership is easier for people. I know you that belly-to-belly thing with Alan Fernley, for those who are familiar with that, makes it, all of us think about that now. But anyway, you get to people, face-to-face, face-to-belly, whatever you want to do. If you get to people and you get in front of them, it's easier for people to say yes, not over the phone. Over the phone, it's always tough to be, oh, the kids in the background, you don't even know if they're listening or not. So it's always easier. So I always try to set appointments. If I can, if they're local, try to set appointments. If not, there's webinars, there's BLS systems, there's a lot of systems that I'm not going to teach you on today that you can have, presentations done online. Okay. But the bottom line is, if you can get to them, it's easier to do it that way than try to sell them over the phone. Okay. So my goal is always to try to get in front of them. No matter what it takes, I want to get in front of you for 15, 20 minutes. That's it. So always use the Dave Savola script. Hey, someone want to show you. It's my mother-in-law's best friend. Hey, someone want to show you. And you may or may not be interested. It's only going to take about 15, 20 minutes. What's the best time for us to meet? I have this evening and I have tomorrow. And she says, I don't know, Darnell. Let me ask you this. Because remember, my warm market, people that I knew, already knew I sold a whole bunch of other stuff. So for me, I had to always deal with those objections. If I didn't have those things, maybe they would just say, sure, I'll meet with you. But because I've done so much, they always said, so what you selling now? I always had to deal with that with my family and friends. So she was like, Darnell, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have a lot of money. So I'm not sure what you're selling now. But I don't have a lot of money. I said, that's okay. You may or may not be interested. I'm just practicing the presentation. I really think it'd be something that's valuable for you. But what is it all about? Well, it's something I got to show you. Can't tell you. It's like kind of give you a hairdo over the phone. And she started laughing. And she says, I just don't know if I want to spend time with someone I know I don't have money. I said, it's okay. You may or may not be interested. And so, see that script? And I stuck with it. And she's like, I said, I'll buy you dessert. Because remember, you got to adjust accordingly. I knew she loved desserts. She's my warm market. Plus, I didn't have money for an entree. So dessert was what it was. I'm telling you. So it's a $4 dessert at this little Bob's Big Boys kind of little coffee shop place. So we went there. I knew what the deal was. And look, watch this. I'm going through the brochure. This is when I first got started. So it wasn't even a brochure like we have now, right now. Just a little, a placemat brochure, they call it. And so I'm going through the brochure. I didn't even get past the first area. I didn't even get off a phone consultation and letter. She was like, oh, my God. I told her one story. It wasn't even my story at the time. It was a story that I heard from someone else that I told about someone who was trying to return a product that wasn't under warranty anymore. But they were able to get that company to accept it back. Anyway, the point is, I shared the story. She was like, I could have used this last month. She was so excited. She was like, how much is... So instead of me saying, no, I haven't gone through my second area of coverage yet, motor vehicles, you all are like, I just said, you're not going to believe it's only $1 a day. She's like, you serious? It's 26. How do they do that? I said, I don't even know. I'm new, but I just know they do it. And she's like, sign me up. You guys get my point? The same person said she doesn't have money. Same person said I may not be interested. Same person said, what you selling? I just need to get in front of her. You guys getting this? So I just became good at setting appointments. I became good at just saying, look, just let me get in front. Look, on my way picking the kids up, I got about 15 minutes in that window. I'm just going to drop by real quick because I know you're at home during that time. And let me just do this quick. See, I just got good at getting in front of people. I knew if I got in front of enough people, then I can give them a membership. And if I get them a membership, I can get referrals from them. And that's what I did. I became really good at getting referrals because I went to my group school and they taught me how to get referrals. So I just started getting referrals from everybody. I just used it in my personal business. Even though I didn't do a lot of group, I learned the same philosophies. So I got a lot of referrals. That's how I made so much money. Remember I talked about how $700, $1,000, I kept going like this? It was from memberships. But along the way, because I'm naturally a team builder, that's a gift of mine, I always told folks, look, there's an incredible amount of income to be earned. I certainly want you to check out this. At the time, it was an audio. I certainly want you to check out this. And so I'd give them the information on the business opportunity. And I would follow up. By the way, sometimes you got to follow up 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 times before you actually reach people or before you actually get them to actually act on something. Because people follow up one person one time. They're like, yeah, they're not calling me back. I call them two times. They're not calling me back. I don't call them and say, so have you watched the DVD? Have you watched? No, you say, look, just wanted to reconnect with you. I know you've been busy. I've been a little busy. Just wanted to see what you like most about this. See the different conversation? You don't call people like you need them. You call people like you're following up with them because you're doing them a favor. Because you are. Everybody with me? Because you don't need that person. You need people, but not that person. You guys got that? We need people, but not you specifically, because if you don't, still going to be somebody else. Got it? All right, good. 10 minutes. You got to move quickly. All right. If you want to learn more about memberships, keep going to the trainings. You'll learn more and more about memberships. Go to your basic training. If you haven't gone to your basic training, you're going to go there. I'm going to get to that in just a second. So, recruiting. Let's talk about recruiting real quickly, because this has really been my gift at recruiting. And I made out a list of warm market, everybody that I knew. They told me to make out a list of everybody that I knew. They said, make out a list of everybody you know. Make out a list. And so I made out a list. I was didn't really want to make out a list because I told you about my warm market. I already knew how my cousins were going to act. I already knew how my aunties were going to act. I already knew it, but I did it anyway because I was coachable. So I made out a list of everybody I knew. They said, look, I don't care if they say yes or no. You need to practice. You need to learn how to handle objections. So I hope they give you a lot of objections. Isn't that different? I hope they give you a lot of objections so you can become better. Jim Rohn, don't pray for things to be easier. Pray that you become better. Don't pray for less problems. Pray for more solutions. Isn't that different? So you become better. That's how I became so good at handling objections. I had so many. You can't tell me an objection right now I can't handle because I've had thousands of them. I feel like Superman when it comes to objections. Give me one, they bounce off because I've had them all. You're going to tell me it's a scam? You're going to tell me it's a pyramid? Tell me you haven't made enough money yet? What are you going to tell me? Something I haven't heard? Sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wham, all sounds the same to me. Right? Because I've heard them all. But when you only get one or two, it's scary. It's like, I don't know what they're going to say because you've only had two. You need hundreds before you. Look, this is the way it was at the mall. It wasn't until I kept saying, can I help you, can I help you, can I help you, can I help you? You know how people are at the mall. No, I'm just looking. And before I learned how to say, listen, so what are you looking for? I learned how to do that. So we're looking for jeans or a top today? I don't know, probably some jeans, maybe a top. So I started suggesting, they were like, she would tell me, jeans. I'm like, oh, I'm getting good at this. But it took me time to get there. Everybody with me? Before I'm like, can I help you? No, I'm just looking, okay, thank you, let me know if you need something. I didn't even know how to offer something up. Then later on, I have been buying socks, hats. They didn't even wear hats. But the hat looked good with it. Well, I'm going to try the hat. I'll try it and see what oh, wow, this actually looks... You guys getting this? You become good. Like, but it's not going to happen tonight. But what will happen tonight is you'll start facing in the right direction for it to happen. Okay. Okay, so recruit, you make out your list. Make out your list to everybody you know. Don't prejudge. Please, please, please don't do what most people do. They prejudge what this person won't. I don't know. Write them down anyway. Make them practice. They're not going to join anyway. At least practice so you learn how to do it the right way when the right person does come along. They're negative. They're mean. They're not going to do it. So practice on the people that are mean and negative because they weren't going to join anyway. Why practice on potentially good people? Everybody with me? This is why when people come to me and say things like, well, I had 20 people on my team, 50 people on my team, whatever the number is, and they all quit. I'm like, congratulations. They're like, what? I'm like, that was practice. So when your real millionaire club members come along, you don't mess up on them. They were practice because they were quitters. I'd rather practice on quitters than those who are going to sustain. Because I don't want to mess up on them. That's my future millionaire club members. You guys getting this? So I had to practice on the people who weren't going to be here with me anyway. Because most of the folks who started with me aren't with me today. So all my failures, they're not even here to say, yeah, we saw him. He didn't even do this right. He didn't even do that. You know why? Because they didn't stick along for me to get it right. So don't even worry about all the people around you right now, all the mistakes you made. Missing the six-figure ring, missing the ED, missing all the things, that the goals that you're going for. Because most of the folks, once you hit a particular goal, the folks that were there when you initially wrote down a goal won't even be there. This is why they say it's lonely at the top. Not that other people aren't there, but just typically a whole new circle of people that weren't there in the beginning. 5 minutes left. You guys good? So, you make out this list, everybody you know, and I don't have time to go into to contact them, but what you're going to do is get out to your basic trainings, and we're going to teach you more about how to set up a private business reception, invite some people to your private business reception with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. I was thinking about having something Friday if you would come. Well, you don't even sound like you want to be at your own house on Friday. You sound like you shouldn't be there, for real, and you want me to come. You should probably leave your house on Friday because it sounds deadly. Seriously, whatever you're doing. So you got to have some type. I'm not saying I'm professional. I'm not saying go crazy like, oh, you got to go. No. I'm just saying, listen, I'm so excited. I'm having something on Friday, and I'm inviting some of my closest friends and family. So you got to have some enthusiasm about what you're doing, because if you want other people to be excited, you should be excited. People say, well, my folks aren't excited. Neither are you. All right, so you made out a list. Everybody you know, contact them. And the basic training is going to show you how to do a lot of these things in terms of contacting and inviting. But here's what I do want to say. Some of your Walmart folks are just going to lead you to other people. So some of the folks who you talk to say, oh, that stuff doesn't work, or it's not real, or whatever they say. Some of those folks will say, listen, that's fine. Not everything's for everybody. I wasn't for sure whether it would be a match for you, but I'm certainly excited about the direction that I'm headed with the company. So do you know anybody who's looking to leverage more time this year or make more money this year than last year? Most people told me no, because if they're not interested, most people are not going to give you anyone who they think. So most folks say no, but every now and then someone says, you can call my cousin, you can call this person, they're always trying something. Every now and then someone gave me somebody, and that's where some of the Millionaire Club members came from. Isn't that amazing? Because I kept asking. Now, of course, just like I'm going to get more no's in my warm market, more no's in the cold market, I'm going to get more no's for referrals, but every now and then someone gave me one. My aunt, oh, I'm not interested in any of that kind of stuff. That's okay, auntie. I wasn't for sure whether this would be a match for you or not. But the worst thing in the world is for family, for me not to at least go to you and kind of share this opportunity with you, because I don't want you 5 years from now to see Tracy in our lifestyle and say, well, how can you at least make me see it if you knew it was going to be that good? And especially since I've talked to you about some of the other things, I don't want you to say, well, you finally found the real one. You didn't tell me about that one. So I thought I'd at least come back to you this one last time, at least kind of share with you something that you can't go get anywhere else. Everything else, unfortunately, you probably could have gotten somewhere else. I didn't know any better, but I know better now. My mother always told me if I know better, I should do better. See, I had to tailor my story for me. I had to shape my script for me, because that's the stuff I had to go through. So my point is that I said, auntie, but who do you know? Never forget this, my mother's older sister. I said, auntie, who do you know, though, that perhaps would like to save money and time and maybe even make additional income this year? She said, well, you can call a lady I used to work with. She's moved to Tennessee. You can call her. And I sure did. And that's how the team started. Everybody with me? And she was like, yeah, I'm always open to getting information. So I sent something down. They call it a long-distance package. So it's completely up to you, but get referrals, okay? Cold market, people that are out there, out and about, there's no secret to that. It is best when you can build relationships with people because people buy from people who they know, like, and trust. So it's always best if you're doing a small business group when there's just, when there's some connector there, when there's somebody who's just, you can say, hey, listen, such and such asset, I give you a call since you may be interested in our benefit. It's always best when you have some connection there. Same thing with our business on the networking side. It's the same thing. It's always best when I can say your cousin said that I should give you a call. So it's always best. When you meet somebody out there, the less is best. Remember that. When you meet somebody out there, less is best. You have a server that's waiting on your table today, less is best. Don't try to get the server a whole bunch of information while they're serving the table. They don't even want to come back to the table because they're afraid you're going to keep harassing them. Say, listen, man, you do such a great, an awesome job. You know, once you finish, I'm going to give to you. They say, okay, thank you. So I'll wait until afterwards. That way I'm not having this, you know what I mean? Unless I just say something, hey, look, are you in management here? They say, well, no. I mean, I actually just started. I said, wow, man, the way you're serving us, I would think you're in at least management training. It's like, no, thank you. You know, so make people feel good. Give them compliments. Don't say, look, I know you're not making any money here, so I got something for you. Don't talk down to people. People do that. They do. Listen, I know you, man. You deliver peace. You can't be making any money. Don't talk down to people. If you talk down to people, they'll bring themselves up because the ego does it. Well, no, that's not all I do. I'm actually in school right now, too. And they'll bring themselves back up. If you bring them up, they'll take themselves down. Say, listen, man, I know by doing this, you're probably earning a great income. And they say, well, no, you stop right there. Who told you that? Because we don't hardly make any money. Say, they'll take themselves down if you take everybody with me. But it comes from building relationships. It comes from time, but less is best. I have to teach my father-in-law this because he talks so much when we're prospecting. And he's like, hey, listen, I'd love to get you some information. Our company, Legal Shield. Have you heard of Legal Shield yet? Okay, great. Well, our company, I'm like, that's way too much. He keeps going. I'm like, and you can see the person, like, he's losing the person. They're like, oh, my gosh, please. And so I say, listen, if you all can perhaps exchange notes, because I know we're on a run, and it looks like you're probably on a run, too, and we'll definitely get you some information. It's okay, great. You can give me the email address. See how that works? Sometimes I have to step in and just look. The key here is just to exchange information so I can follow. I can't follow up if I don't get your information. So the key is just to get someone's information so you can follow up with them, get them more information. Because I don't know what they're going to be most interested in, a website, a DVD, what they're going to be, you know, if I can schedule a sit down. So if I have your information, though, I can try to schedule something, okay? So that's warm market and cold market, okay? In the beginning, I did mostly warm market and then veered off the cold market. And became better and better at it, even though I was very hesitant because I told you I was an introvert. Okay, time's up. We have to go. But let me share this with you. You know that in our business there's trainings outside of this training. Did you know that? That it's not the only training? Okay, good. So what I want us to focus on, Utah and surrounding markets, is I want us to focus on showing up. Because if we're going to build the momentum that I know we want to build, and we're going to start turning this into more $1,000 income earners, $2,000 a month income earners, and then eventually that creates $50,000 a month income earners. I want to talk about that real quickly before I leave, because I believe that when we create more stories in this market, because I know there's got to be some folks here that say, look, if I can just get to 10 grand a month, 20 grand a month, my lifestyle will be different. Anybody like that in here? Okay. Well, some of you don't believe it yet, but that's okay, because it's tough to believe things when you're not close to it. It takes faith. Doesn't take faith when you already see it. If you see it and you see that it's possible, doesn't take faith because you already see it. It takes faith when you have no idea how you would get to that. So a lot of people say they have faith, but they don't have faith. They're lying to themselves and to me when they say they have faith because they don't believe they can get to something that it seems like they could never get to. But it takes faith to see something that is not even in sight. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that quickly as I close because, of course, I have a story that I close with. You knew I wasn't going to leave you without one more story. So there are obviously going to be a lot of events that come up, the basic trainings, the weekly presentations. Don't miss out on those events. Now, I've adjusted my schedule because I love being at my kids' events now. I paid the price where I miss all the events, and now I'm there at the events. But I made adjustments. So my weekly briefing is on Tuesday, which is 10 minutes from my home. The Wednesday one is 30 to 35 minutes away from my home, sometimes more in traffic. But I now go to the Wednesday because there's no football practice on Wednesday. So I just adjusted. I go farther away from home, but I can be with my kids on the night of the one that's closest. Everybody with me? So I made adjustments. So do what you got to do, but still attend. So no, I don't have to attend, but I do because I'm telling my people to attend. And unless I'm going to stop doing the business, okay, which I could, but if I'm going to still say I'm doing the business, then I need to actually do what I'm telling them to do. Everybody with me? So I'm still taking notes as Mr. Humes is in the front of the room, whoever it is. I'm still taking notes, still learning, still growing, still getting stories, okay? So I'm just asking that you all participate. Don't say you want this and not come and participate. You can't say you want to get better at anything that you're not participating in. It's a false expectation. It's naivety on your part and my part to believe it will ever happen, okay? And so I want to make sure that if you're serious about building this business, if you want to become better at bowling, you got to make it a bowling practice. You can't just show up at the game. Am I right? And so if you want to get better at this game, which I know you do, okay, you got to show up. Second thing is when you show up, I want us to start recognizing each other for the small achievements. You guys did an awesome job at that today with new associates coming up. But we have to start finding out the people who are making the extra $200, $500 a month, because those are stories we should share. You know why? Because most folks believe they can make that kind of money. Most people don't believe they can make $15,000 a month yet. And that's okay. But when we start sharing the $300, $500 a month stories, those type of stories, people say, man, I can do that. Oh, man, I want to do that. And so you have $20, $30, $500 a month stories. Guess what that creates? It creates more $1,000 and $2,000 a month stories. So, but it starts here. Ask an executive how important one membership is. Everybody with me? Because right now to go executive director is only 50, but 49 won't get you there. So praising the little things means so much. One, because it makes people feel like they can do it. It's like, man, that's a big deal. I got one. Because they say, man, I only got one. I'm like, congratulations. They're like, man, they feel so good. They want to get another one. But if they don't feel good, if you don't make them feel good, they feel like, well, I only got one. So they feel like a failure for getting one. When they should feel like a success for getting one. Because one leads to two, which leads to three, which leads to 1,000. Are you all getting this? And so the only way we create and market ring earner after ring earner after ring earner is by creating $500 a month stories. That's the only way, because then you create the $2,000 a month stories. Then you create the $4,000 a month stories. All of a sudden you have an $8,333.33 a month story, which is a six-figure rate. Okay? And you all are going to do that. You're going to do that. And the way we're going to do that is creating more $500 a month stories. That's it. I know you may be thinking, man, I need so much more than that. That's okay. Create the $500 a month part-time story. It's wonderful. But only if you have a dozen people or so doing it, because then it'll turn to two dozen. Because folks will say, man, that many people making $5 a month? Count me in. I'm number 13 next month. I'm number 4. People are not going to say I'm number 14 for the $10,000 a month next month, because it's too far away. But that leads to the $10,000 a month. Are you all getting this? Okay, so make sure you do that. So the story that goes along with that is, sometimes you think that the thing you do by yourself doesn't make a difference. But it does. It makes a huge difference. Because other people are watching you even when you don't think they're watching you. And my high school son now goes to a preparatory college, high school, and it's a private school. And again, in the beginning, I told you my oldest kids we couldn't afford that in public school. And this private school, the reason why we chose this private school is because 100% of the seniors last year, 100% of the seniors were accepted into college before they graduated. They have 200 seniors. They graduated 200 for each class, 200, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. There was 114, hold on. No, that's not true. It was $17 million in scholarships for those 200. Because they had this system that set up, the area system set up to get scholarships for those students. I mean, they had a whole department for that. You guys, so I figured if I pay for high school, I don't have to pay for college. If I pay for the right high school. Everybody with me? That was my philosophy behind it. My wife was like, you're going to pay that much for high school? And it's like, we'll look how much they're getting scholarships for these students for different reasons. But anyway, my point in telling you the story is that we started a fund there at the school because there are immigrants there. They're there who, it's a school where they teach a lot of different things. Ministries teach a lot of different things. But unfortunately, there's some seniors there who've gone there for the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade and now can't graduate because their parents lost their jobs. They can't graduate there because, different things happen in life. I won't go through it. Some of their parents, one parent, his mom is going through chemo and she can't work right now. And she didn't have anything set up to continue to, pay her bills and certainly can't continue to send her child to school. And I just felt bad because I'm like, man, these are things that can happen to any of us. And so I've set up a lot of different things. We do a lot of non-profit things that I won't talk about today. But one of the things we set up at this school is a fund to help out students like that. And they don't know my name. I don't want them to know my name. I don't do this for anybody, for any recognition. I'm telling you guys because I want you to understand that this business is bigger than you. And sometimes we think selfishly about us. But because I do what I do, it blesses a whole bunch of people outside of just Legal Shield. So those no's, I'm willing to accept the no's because I see those kids that perhaps I'm sowing a seed in their future. And they'll create a better environment for my kids to be in because your kids and my kids at some point hang out. They work together. Right? Am I right about this? And so I just say that because in that scholarship fund, we sent 7 kids to school this year in that high school, which is would have taken me 6 years in all of my salary to pay that in to my own child, but we send other kids to school. And that's the power of doing things beyond yourself. So when you're out there talking to folks, this is bigger than just you. This is bigger than just you paying your house note. Because there's somebody out there right now that needs this because they're in that same situation as the kids that we're helping. The problem is that the parents that we're helping their kids go, they don't know about Legal Shield. That's my fault because I'm not out there enough. That's our team's fault. That's all of our fault because there's other people out there who are looking for this. And it's our job, Utah, it's our job, Idaho, it's our job, Nevada, to let people know about this. And there's a percentage of people who will not only take advantage of this, but take it all the way to millionaire status. And they are out there. You don't know what they look like because they don't have a poster on their forehead. And doesn't say, I'll be the next Millionaire Club member. I don't know what they look like. But I know you wouldn't have chose the group that became Millionaire Club members on our team because we look like the Bad News Bears when we got started. From all different walks of life, military, post office, mall worker, mortgage broker. I can tell you, people out there, people from hospital, Danny Couture, in the educational system, professional athlete. But I tell you, all the Millionaire Club members, there were so many backgrounds, you would have never said, no, they'll be a Millionaire Club member. But they're out there, and they're out there for you. And they're out there because they're going to be on your team, and they're going to allow you to make $20,000 a month, not because of you, not because you became so great, not because you even saw that number coming, but because you blessed a lot of people. It came back your way whether you wanted it to or not. Listen, Utah, I appreciate you all having me. I want to see you all at the top. Certainly look forward to seeing you all at the next international convention in Oklahoma City. God bless you all. Thanks again for having me.
Wow. What an amazing event, you guys. I want you to real quick just look around and see how many people are in this room and see what we've started to create momentum-wise versus, you know, just 60 days ago. Just 60 days ago when we were in the auditorium, the smaller room over here, and it was only half full. We painted a picture of where we could be by the time Mr. Self got here. We put forth a plan, what we were going to do to build the marketplace to get here, and you guys have filled this room. Give yourselves a hand for doing that, guys. That was awesome. All right. Real quickly, and yours is in here. We got a gift for you. And I'm so excited about this. This is the coolest thing in the world. It's a Utah-based company, even though it's made in China, because everything's made in China today. But this is a man, it's hard, I think, okay, what can I get for Mr. Self? I mean, last time he was here, the Jazz were in the playoffs, and D. Will was tearing it up, and so we made sure that his whole family got jerseys and stuff, Jazz jerseys and stuff. I don't know, Washington Wizards might be their favorite team, but, you know. But you can't be proud to wear a Washington Wizards jersey. So anyhow, we got him some gear, but you're trying to think, well, how do you buy a gift for someone that seems like, hey, anything you want, they can just go get and stuff like that, but I know he ain't got one of these. So, if you go to goalzero.com and you check out the little clip there, you can see what this is. But this is actually, it's two solar panels, and you can drive your car over these things. They will not break. You do not need to worry about throwing this in your luggage and stuff like that. But the cool thing about this is when you're maybe at the park with your family, or out on a boat on the lake, or traveling, you throw it in the, you know, on the dashboard of the window and stuff. This charges your phone, your iPod, your iPad, and I know your kids have iPads and everything else like that. They start to get low and the cigarette, you know, ports are all used up and stuff like that. Or you charge this up and then put it in your suitcase. It's nice and thin and stuff. You're on the go. You don't want to stop in the airport and try to find an outlet. You just plug it in, put it back in your thing, and walk while it's charging your gear. All done by the sun. On the go. The sun charges all your devices out there. So it also comes with some pretty cool external speakers that, hey, your kids want to listen to their iPod or something like that at the park and stuff like that. So anyhow, we got you one of those units for you and your kids and stuff like that to play with when you get back to Maryland. All right, give it up for Mr. Schultz. Thank you. All right, you guys ready to see who's coming next month?
Yes.
Let me tell you, I ain't going to go into a story or anything, but I want to lay a little bit of history about Mr. Self. Some of it he'll remember because he played an important role in it. But back in 2005, they had a new RVP put in up in Idaho, a guy named Rob, and we'll just leave it at that. He's not even in the business anymore, so it's not like I'm talking bad about him. But he had called me to be on their state leadership call. He was, you know, just trying to figure out how to run the state. And he called me and said, hey, would you be our guest on our state leadership call? I'm like, yeah, I'll be happy to. And so I was the guest, and he asked some questions and stuff. And when he was done, I was shocked because he said, oh, and by the way, we have Mr. Darnell Self coming out to do our Super Saturday. And I'm like thinking, how the heck did someone in Idaho get Mr. Self to agree to go to, I don't know, offense, Idaho. Don't throw potatoes at me or anything else like that. I was just shocked that this guy got a guy who I know didn't have any team in Idaho, got him to come out there. And so he's planning it with the, you know, what we call the area coordinators. He's planning the event. And he says, does anyone have a nice car that you could, you know, pick him up at the airport? And it's just quiet. And he drove a real beater Saab. And he's like, you know, I can get him a room over at the Motel 6 and stuff like that. And I'm hearing this and I'm like, I'm dying. I'm going, Rob, you're not going to go pick him up in that Saab that barely even runs and take Mr. Self to Motel 6. And so I'm the guest from out of state on their call. And I said, hey, Rob, this is Dave again. Could I just jump in there? I'm like, I'll pick up Mr. Self at the airport if that's okay with you. And I go, don't worry about the hotel. I'll find a hotel room for him. He's like, oh, okay, thanks, Mr. Hall. And now I'm 6 hours away. But I had team up there. And I found out they had a room for about 30, 40 people for their Super Saturday. And I told Rob, I said, you know what? Give me 50 tickets. Give me 50 tickets for that event. And he's like, well, we don't have a room big enough for you to take 50 tickets. I said, well, then get another room. Because we had to upsize this room twice because of what you guys did. And Idaho was a big player. They brought a lot of people down from Idaho. Give Idaho a hand for being in the house. We ended up taking 60 people. And all because I wanted to make sure he had a nice car to drive in from the airport to his hotel. And a gift basket in the room. And Debbie, thank you very much for the room. And Deanne Foster, thank you very much for hooking up the gift basket. Those are the ladies that make us look good, by the way. make sure that this man was treated right. Well, we went up there. We took 60 people up there to the Super Saturday. And I thought, if that guy from Idaho who doesn't know his head from his keister got Mr. Self to come in here, I can get him to Utah. And extended the invitation for him to come to Utah, and he accepted. And so within the next year, we had a date, we had a time and a place, and he came to Utah. Now, it just so happens that he rolled into Utah on the first month that I ever hit platinum in the entire company. And so when we did our recognition, I actually got to walk the stage as platinum, and Mr. Self was here. And I decided to kind of share a real small portion of my story that I'd never shared on the journey there. And then when it was time to take him to the airport after the Super Saturday, Mr. Self said, And Mr. Hall, your story, your journey was very impactful. Be expecting a call from corporate. And I was like, uh-oh, did I say something too wrong or something? But literally, on Monday morning after the corporate call, I got a call from someone in corporate. And they said, we'd like you to train at the next convention from stage. And all of that transpired because of simply making the decision to go to an event and take a lot of people with me. Then I thought, well, if he can extend the invitation and get accepted, I can get in here. All that one decision to just say, I'm coming and I'm bringing more people with me because we're building. Even though the Super Saturday is 6 hours away, that eventually led to tons of people going crazy and recruiting like, you know, bonkers. And all of a sudden, we hit platinum. We were training at convention. Within a year and a half after that, we were in the Millionaires Club. One decision that, hey, look, going to the event by myself is not going to happen, even if it's 6 hours away. I'm taking a lot of people. He absolutely had a huge impact on blowing my team up. So, again, thank you very, very, very much.
That was a story. Great story.
That was a story. You got a story. Got a story on me. All right. Real quickly, you're not going to know or recognize the name of our guest next month, so we're going to show you a quick clip, and then I'll announce the name. Go ahead and kill the lights and throw the clip. One of the top execs from Kroll coming here for Identity Theft Protection. Now, I'll tell you, we've never ever had someone from Kroll that represents them come out here. You know how Mr. Self was talking about StorySale? You only hear a fraction of the success stories that this company has done in not only saving people's identities, but their lives, their livelihoods, their ability to work, everything. And so we've gone and gotten one of the top executives from Kroll to come out here and make you feel 10 feet tall and bulletproof on the product that you offer to the American people out there, our Identity Theft Shield. And 60 days ago, when we had just a small fraction of us here, I laid out a 60-day game plan and said, look, by the end of this, by the time Mr. Self comes, we could fill up that whole other building over there, and you guys have done that. So I'm going to lay out another 60-day plan for you and what we have. Because some of you will say, hey, I'll show up the morning of, and I'll buy my ticket to the event. And that's great that you're here. But some of you say, you know what? It's time to get rich. It's time to make this work. And I'm bringing more people back next month. More people, more people. We have someone from Kroll coming for the month of November. November 5th. Put it in your calendars right now. But we have the holiday season coming up. Now, some of you may think that's a distraction. I'm here to tell you, typically, my biggest checks in the entire year are November and December in this business. My biggest checks. Typically, they run incredible promotions to keep you focused on the business that require production, which requires a team, which requires you to do something now to capture those bonuses going into that. In the month of December, we have our CEO, Rip Mason, coming here. So, for those of you that would like to have 30, 40, 50 people here in December, you need to plant the seeds in the apple today. so you can start harvesting a little bit later. You can always get a ticket and guarantee your seat in the event, or for those of you that are serious, we're going to give you 5 for the price of 4 today to start building your business and blow it up. We have ladies at the back of the room or out in the foyer, set up at the tables out in the foyer ready to help you expand your business, blow your business up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for coming out, and we'll see you all November 5th back here. Grab your tickets.